जयमुषपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शिलहरदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंद All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Amishwapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale. Shrimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidina Amine Namaste. Sarasadevam Gauravani Prajarini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वदान्दियं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे। ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते दन्दसरस्वती नामिने। श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी तैदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानम् वायिने प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणा शक्ति ग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते। गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धावसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे। नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः। नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगमराय ते। गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा स जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशास्त्रियं। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते। सुरतो भङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदुर्गति मत्सर्वस्वदाम्बोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमन्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवो प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि। श्रीमन्नासरसारं वंशी वणतटस्थिता कृष्णन् वेणुस्वने गोपे गोपीनाथा श्रियेस्तुना तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये। జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు తే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక పాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావోదోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంస చాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రత జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్య గ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహవ్యపీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితగదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుః సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. So last Sunday when we were discussing third canto, where we stopped was Swayambhumanu came with Shadarupa Devi and Devahuti Devi to see to the ashram, and there the discussions there between Kardama Prajapati and Swayambhumanu. We saw there that Swayambhumanu, Kardama Prajapati has put forward certain conditions. Swayambhumanu very politely accepted them, and Swayambhumanu wanted Devahuti Devi to make that decision about the marriage. So, finally it was decided that handing over Devahuti Devi to Kardama Prajapati, and very simple marriage, as says in the Bhagavatam, you can see how simple that marriage was. Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi, it says. If you look at that 22nd chapter, 15th verse, భాడముద్ధోడ్డు కామోహం అప్రమత్త తవాల్మజ ఆవయోర్ అనిరూపాసో వాద్యో ఆద్యో వైవాహికో విధి. యూ వుడ్ హవ్ నార్మలీ ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్ ఎ పర్సనాలిటీ లైక్ స్వయంభూమను, హూ ఈజ్ సో వెల్తీ అండ్ హూ ఈజ్ సో హూ హ్యాడ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అవైలబుల్ ఫార్ హిమ్, బట్ హీస్ డాటర్స్ మ్యారేజ్ వాస్ ద మోస్ట్ సింపుల్ మ్యారేజ్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్. ఆద్యో ఆవయో అనిరూపస్యో ఆద్యో వైవాహికో విధి, దాట్స్ హౌ దాట్ మ్యారేజ్ హ్యాపెండ్. And you can see there that marriage is over, and Devahuti, that they left her ഇന്ന് കർദവ പ്രജാപതി ആശ്രം ആൻഡ് സ്വയംഭൂ മനു ആൻഡ് ശതരൂപാദേവി ദ ആർ ഗോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ദയർ പാലസ്. At that time, apparently Shadarupadevi felt a little bit uneasy about the situation because daughter, she has grown up in the palace with all the comforts. And in Kardama Prajapati's ashram, there is nothing. There is no roof even. Underneath the tree, he is living there. And Shadarupadevi was thinking that how can I hand over my daughter? How is she going to manage things here, and not even a mat to lie down. So then there was a huge banyan tree near that Bindu Saras, that lake, and and underneath that Kardama Prajapati is living there. If it rains, he gets wet, and if there is sunshine, he will have all the sunshine. He won't lose anything. This is the system. So mother naturally felt how to leave the daughter here. So she started weeping. Shadarupadevi started crying about that. So, and she took the daughter, kept her in the lap and said, Devahuti's mother. And she was feeling very difficult. She was feeling very, very difficult. But Swayambhuva Manu, you may ask the question, did he not feel bad? We not find any difficulty. After all, you are marrying your daughter to a sannyasi-like person who doesn't have anything. Will he not have any difficulty? No, he had difficulty, but he didn't have time to think about that. That is how Bhagavatam is saying there. Bhagavatam is saying to us that whether the daughter is happy or not after the marriage, father had no time to think about it. Because necessary jewelry, clothes and comforts, all these things are natural, normally expected. In the bride's parents will think about that, whether all these facilities will be there or not. But you see what they have done in the Bhagavatam. Soon after that incident, Bhagavatam is saying how Swayambhuva Manu used to spend his time. Because he had no time to think about anything else. He says there, look at that, he says, if you look at the 35th verse, Maitreya Maharshi took special effort to mention this to us, that Swayambhuva Manu was not disturbed after the marriage because he had no time to think about it. He was so busy. Busy with what? Ayodayama tasyasan, yama, 35th verse. Ayodayama tasyasan yama swandarayapana shurnodo dhyayado vishnu kurvato bhruvatakathaha. Sa evam swandaram ninni yuganameka saptatim vasudeva prasangena paribhudagaditrayaha sharira manasa divya vayase yachamanusha vaudhigaschakatham klesha bhathande harisam shrayam. That was his situation. That he had no, for it, because he used to get up so early, 7.5 nariya, that means about 3 hours almost before sunrise, and after waking up, meditation, chanting the holy name, bathing and charities, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things kept himself busy for the whole morning. And then rishis used to come to him, so he has to talk to them about the dharmam, about spiritual principles, and whatever they say, he has to listen to that as well. And then another important thing what Swayambhuva Manu used to do was that you can see kurvato bruvata ayadayama tasyasan yama swandarayabana shrunado dhyayado vishnu kurvato bruvata kathaha. He not only that he used to dress up and engage in acting in different pastimes of Krishna. This was his way of life. And after doing all that things, he had no time to think about the daughter's situation. So, he didn't even think whether to send somebody to look after, give any help, what she wanted. But what is it showing to us is that even if you are in the position of a great personality, like Swayambhuva Manu, he also will have problems in life. No matter who it is. Swayambhuva Manu is considered to be the first Manu, and who had all the opulences in this world, even he had difficulties in life. That's number one thing. And what did he do? In order that those problems does not affect him, does not give him any trouble, he completely took into Krishna consciousness and serving Krishna. And that way he filled his whole time in the day. This is the lesson from this. Swayambhu Manu spent his whole time in Krishna conscious activities, chanting or acting the different pastimes or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, meditations, deity worship. One way or the other, he kept himself whole time busy. And that's the only way you can deal in this world. That this is a good lesson. That Manu went back to his palace, and after the marriage, Kardama Prajapati, he did not even think about it, that my daughter is now married and gone. He didn't even think about it. Why? He didn't have time to think about it. That's how he kept himself busy. He had his own routine in his life. He followed that. Waking up early in the morning, meditation, chanting the holy name, deity worship, all these things. Time has gone like that. This is happening in Swayambhu Manu's life. One thing to make understand that even great personalities, they have problems in life. That nobody can avoid that. It will happen their own way. In different ways it may be, but it does happen. And secondly, Swayambhu Manu is showing to us, if you want to free yourself from the problems like that, best thing is to completely fill the time with some way or the other, some Krishna conscious activities. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam, Japam, Dhyanam, Puja, in this way, keep yourself occupied. So that distress won't overpower the mind and give the problems. So now look at Devahuti situations. Devahuti thought, what is my responsibility here? To look after the husband, whatever assistance he required, and give him all the care what he needed. So arranging the flowers for him, keeping the so-called ashram in a very clean place, and in this way, serving her husband. A lot of time has gone in that way. Months have passed that Devahuti's time with Kardama Prajapati. And Devahuti Devi, because she has moved away from her palace to this ashram, and since then her bathing and diet and all that, she can't even think about it. Food, what she had, what was available in the forest, that is all. So, because of all that, her health has, her bodily conditions have changed. So, all the hair which was not looked after, so beautiful she was before, but because she didn't care for the hair, everything, it has all become matted hair. Matted hair. Body has completely lost the... she became very weak. And it is not the same Devahuti who used to live in the palace. So, if you look at Devahuti, she'll appear as though she's the daughter of a rishi in the forest. She has lost weight and everything, and she looked so weak. So, one day, she was addressed as Tapaswini. Tapaswini, one who is performing penances in the forest. Kardama Prajapati, one day, after many, many months, one day he got up from his meditation, and Devahuti was there next to him. He's asking Devahuti that he was thinking that it's quite a long time since we got married. Kardama Prajapati is thinking this, that I have to do something for Devahuti Devi also. In this way, his thoughts came up. So he called Devahuti Devi and asked him that he didn't say that do you want anything after we got married now? Do you have any desires in you? That's how he put it to him. And when he asked this question, he was very serious as well. Kardama Prajapati was very serious as well. So, Kardama Prajapati wanted Devahuti to know that after marrying a sannyasi like him, that yes, she has wasted her life. He didn't want her to feel that. So he says to her, I have also got money, he says. I've also acquired some wealth, he says. There's no place to sleep even. Underneath the tree, he's sitting there. And he's saying to Devahuti Devi, I have also got some wealth. He says, but that wealth is different. It's not currency. It's that tapas, austerities and penances from which he acquired that strength. He says, and this is something that will never get, won't lose its value or will never get lost. So he says to her that this is a wealth that I have deposited at Krishna's lotus feet. I have deposited there. And Krishna keeps it for me. When I want it, I can withdraw from that wealth. And 10,000 years he has performed penances, austerities and penances to please Krishna. And I have offered that to Krishna and he is keeping it for me. So, and I don't mind taking something out of it for our life in this world. Saying like that, so tell me what do you want, says to Devahuti Devi. Devahuti paid her obeisances to Kardama Prajapati and says to him that I don't need to tell you anything, he said. After we got married and after now that we have entered into this Grihastha Ashramam, and the highest goal for a woman in that Grihastha Ashramam is to have a child, and it hasn't happened to us, and I cannot say that you haven't thought about it, but I'm still reminding you that. He said, oh, if it is like that, Kardama Prajapati says to Devahuti Devi, then we need a place to stay, don't we? Proper place to stay. Definitely we need a proper place. And so Kardama Prajapati had no time to engage in house building, construction and all that. The daughter of Swayambhu Manu had come here. And there should be a house which matches for Swayambhu Manu's daughter's reputation, isn't it? Kardama Prajapati sat there, closed his eyes for a few minutes. In 2 minutes' time, a huge aeroplane was coming down from the sky, a 7-story building. And it was a full whole palace with all the facilities there. And also, it's like an aeroplane. It's a huge palace, like an aeroplane. It came and landed there. And and there's a whole description, you can read that in the Bhagavatam, about that palace, what came from the Vaikuntha planet. Krishna had sent this to him. So even in the heavenly planets, you won't find such a thing. Kardama Prajapati is asking Devahuti Devi, that is that sufficient for us to live in this house? So, and Devahuti, seeing the facilities there, she haven't had even at Swayambhu Manu's place. She didn't have this. Devahuti felt a little bit shy because in her own palace, father's palace, these opulences didn't exist. What came from Vaikuntha planet. And more than that, what she saw there, so she stood looking down. What was that? Kardama Prajapati thought, why she is not answering anything? She thought, previously, when she was in her youth, when she was very good looking and healthy, at that time she felt like living in a palace like this. Now, after many months of austerities in the forest, she has become like a tapasvi, like a full of austerities, and therefore she was not feeling any attraction with the bodily conditions to move into such a palace. So all her beauty, health, everything has gone away by now. So it doesn't match together. The body what she has now and the palace what has come does not match very well. So similarly, she was looking at Kardama Prajapati also. When she looked at Kardama Prajapati, it looked worse than her situation. So Kardama Prajapati understood what was going through her mind. He says to her, because you have served me all these months and you have lost your health and beauty, everything in this way. But it doesn't matter. This can come back. Health and beauty can come back. So asked Devahuti Devi to bathe in the Bindusaras. When she bathed in the Bindusaras, she came out of that, and Bhagavatam says that accompanied her by many, many women from the heavenly planets, accompanied her, thousands of them, as her servant maids came back along with her. And if you look at that there, you will see in the 23rd chapter what it says there. Tam drishtva you can look at that. 26. Samdas 23, 26. Samdas sarasiveshmastha shatani dashakanyakaha sarva kishore vayaso dadarsholpalaganthaya tam drishtva sahasothaya projo pranjalaya striyaha vayam karmagari stubhyam shadhina karavamakim snanena tam maharhena snabayitva manasvinim dugule nirmale nutne dadurase jamanadam. This is all the description about the Devahuti Devi and her servant maids who have come from there. So they, all these women who come, they said that we are the servant maids of Devahuti Devi. You can tell us what you want us to do. So let us do one thing, that Devahuti Devi has not even bathed properly for a long time. They bathed her and very special perfumes and everything, what they have brought from the heavenly planets, not the ones what we have got here. And using all that, they bathed her. And Devahuti didn't have to do anything. She was looked after so well and given all the services by these demigods, by the women from the heavenly planets. They bathed her and all kinds of assistance. Finally, they dressed her very well and brought her in front of the mirror and looked at the mirror. Devahuti could not believe who she was. Her beauty was so amazing. Devahuti looked at the mirror, and he says there, even Shivarvati was not that beautiful as Devahuti Devi. So beautiful she was at that time. Devahuti felt amazed by this, and so all her assistants, these servant maids, these dasis who had come from the heavenly planets, they were holding her hand and brought her in front of Kardava Prajavati at that time. And so when she saw Kardava Prajavati at that time, she thought, what a life this is now. My reason is, the bungalow is, the house that has been built is very good. And as far as her beauty is concerned, she is more beautiful than any time before. But only thing is, the husband is like a sannyasi sitting there. Look at Devahuti's situation at that time. So, when she came back, she saw Devahuti Devi came back. She saw Kardava Prajapati has changed. Kardava Prajapati has moved on to the throne. And when she looked at Kardava Prajapati, Devahuti's head went on the ground. She couldn't look at him because he changed completely. He was so beautiful. And through his yogic power, he changed his form. At that time, because of shyness, Devahuti could not look into Kardava Prajapati's face. And he asked Devahuti to move into that palace that's come, the plane. And the plane started the journey. And not like our aeroplanes, that doesn't require two or three pilots and everything. It's a sankalpam. Sankalpam means according to Kardava Prajapati's desire, the plane is capable of carrying people anywhere. Kardava Prajapati is asking Devahuti Devi that this is the time now, whatever we want to enjoy life in this way, as long as we want to enjoy, wherever you want to go, we could go in this way. Kardava Prajapati's honeymoon with Devahuti Devi. You can see Devahuti asked, where would you like to go? Devahuti says, let's go to the heavenly planets. And there, it goes there. He mentions there in the Bhagavatam also. Nandanam, Saitriratham. These places they have gone to. Vaishrambhage, Surasani, Nandane, Pushpabhadrage. 40. Manase, Chaitrathe, Jasareme, Ramaya, Jataha. Then this is their life now. They have started traveling to the heavenly planets. So, Indra, in the heavenly planets, when he heard that Kardava Prajapati is coming with Devahuti Devi, he made the whole place available for them to enjoy their life. So, all the parks and other entertainment facilities, everything was given to them, to the way they want to enjoy. And there were many people in the heavenly planets who got there by performing sacrifices. Indra told them to move away from there temporarily till for a few days for Kardava Prajapati and Devahuti Devi to spend the time there. So, the Yahudi and Kardama started living their life in the heavenly planets. Just like you can see sometimes even when you see in places when VIPs come, how everybody else is thrown away. In the same way, Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi was taken very special special treatment for them. So these kind of problems are everywhere. That even if you go into heavenly planets, it will be there, the same thing. The reason is that because Kardama Prajapati, Bhagavad Gita is trying to tell us that if you have pleased Krishna any time in life by your service or by your bhakti, that person, wherever he goes, he gets recognized. He gets recognized. You will see there, the mentions there, that Brajashnada Vimanena Kamagena Mahiyasa Vaimaniganatya Sheda Charam Lokan Yadhanila. Yeah. So, Nandanam, Chaitradham, all these places, they spend their time listening to the musical concerts and the dancing by the women from the heavenly planets. And Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti, both of them were watching all the facilities in the heavenly planets. Then they left heavenly planets. Upper planetary systems they left. They went to the lower planetary systems to see what goes on there. Then they went to the higher planetary system, Brahmaloka, right up to Brahmalokam. All over the universe, they were able to travel. So, by now, what happened is, Kardama Prajapati himself expanded into 9. Himself, he expanded into 9. And Devahuti also has expanded into 9. Their body, they could expanded. It is there in the... This is all Kardama Prajapati's Aishwarya Siddhi. Remember the Aishwarya Siddhi Krishna has spoken in the 19th chapter, in the 11th canto. That Aishwarya Siddhi, you can expand any number of times, many number of times. So, Kardama expanded into 9, and Devahuti also expanded into 9. So, 9 Kardama Prajapatis and 9 Devahuti Devi. So, Valsyayana, who wrote Kama Sutra, even he couldn't even imagine the comforts that they had in the material comforts they had in that palace. And that is what Kardama and Devahuti is enjoying. Devahuti got pregnant and they returned back into the palace after enjoying their life in the heavenly planets for so long. They didn't even know that the time has gone that far. So many years have passed in this way. They came back to the palace again. Devahuti had by now 9 children were born from her. 9 girls. And after the delivery, by then Kardama has changed his clothes. He has come back to his original form. He has got back his saffron dhoti and bamboo danda, everything. And what he has left before he went on this journey, he took them all back. And he knew that he is getting ready to take sannyasam and to leave. Devahuti comes and pays her obeisances to Kardama Prajapati and then says to him that I made a mistake. Devahuti Devi says to Kardama Prajapati that I have made a big mistake, says Devahuti Devi. When you get an association with a personality like Kardama Prajapati, a devotee like Kardama Prajapati, who had such a higher realization, what I should have done, Devahuti Devi says to Kardama Prajapati, I should have asked the root to go back to Vaikuntham, not for all what I have asked from you. So, I didn't do that. Now what has happened, I've got these 9 girls with me, and I have one request to you, he says, that I don't have a son yet who will look after me. And so please think about this before moving on to sannyasa ashram. Devahuti Devi says this to Kardama Prajapati. So if you are conscious of this and then take sannyas, then I don't mind if that's the way it is. And Kardobhajadi says to Devahuti, what you have said is true. I'm keeping the sannyasam temporarily suspended. Because long, long ago, when I placed Krishna has told me this, that he's going to come back as my son. That's going to happen. So, if I take to sannyasam now, I'll be a loser. Because Krishna has told me that he's going to come as my son. And a person takes sannyasam to get Krishna. Now what is happening? For Krishna is going to appear in my house as my son, and I am leaving Krishna and going. What is the purpose of the sannyasam, he says. Therefore, I am willing to wait till the appearance of Krishna. And then, he has decided to stay in the ashram for some more time, engaging in the same routine what he used to do before. He gone back to his old habits of waking up in the morning, engaging in spiritual activities, chanting the holy name, hearing Bhagavatam, and deity worship, meditation. In this way, he spent more time in the ashram. And in the next chapter, Krishna is going to appear as Devahuti's son. That is that 24th chapter. Chaturvimshatado janmam kapilasyaha talpitu pravrajyam tam anujnyapyam khranatraya vimokshada. That Krishna's appearances, Kapila Vasudev, in the family as Kapila Vasudev, and Kardava Prajavadi finishing up all his debts in this world. The three kinds of debts, what one has. That means Devarshibudaptan Ranam Pidranam, demigods and forefathers and other living entities. So Kardama Prajapati moves back into the forest after the appearance of the sun. And this Kapila Maharshi, who is going to appear in this chapter, this is the incarnation which taught Sankhyam. Sankhya Yoga in this world. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very important part in the third canto, Kapilam. That's why you will see that Prabhupada specifically printed a book, Teachings of Lord Kapila, specifically. Philosophically, very important. Apart from that, Andal explains the principles of bhakti in a very, the first time Krishna explains bhakti in the Bhagavatam. In a systematic way, is this Kabilam. Kabilam it's called. Let's look at that. Shri Maitreya Vacha Nurveda Vadini Vivam Manurdu Hidaram Muni Dayalu Shalini Maham Shukla Vivyakradam Smaran Rishi Vaja Makhidu Rajavutri Tamal Panam Bratani Dide Bhagavam Stacharo Grabham Adura Adura Al Sambrabal Siadem Dada Vrasi Badram De Demene Menaja Tabodrivanada Nisha Shadaya Jeshwaram Bhaja Satvaya Rajida Shukla Vidunan Mamagam Yasha Cheta Deha Degrandi Maudeyo Brahma Bhavana Shri Maitreya Vaja Deva Hutti Sandesham Gauravena Prajapade Samyak Shraddhaya Purusham Kutastham Abhajat Gurum Tasyam Bhudide Kale Bhagavan Madhusudana Kardam Mirimavano Yajne Agni Rivadaruni Avadayam Sada Vomni Maditrani Khana Khana Gayandidam Smagandarva Nartyandi Apsaraso Muda Pedu Sumanaso Divya Khejai Apavarjida Prase Dushchadisha Sarvam Bham Sijamanam Sicha Tal Kardama Shravadam Sarasutya Parishridam Shrayam Bhusa Swayam Bhusa Gamrashvir Marijit Maricha Adivirabhayal Bhagavan Namaram Brahma Satvinam Shena Shatruhan Tattva Samkhyana Vijnyakti Jadam Vidvana Jaswarat Sabhajayan Vishuddhena Chedasada Chagirshidam Prashyamanaira Subikardhamam Jedam Abhyadal Brahmo Vaja Toyame Bachidistada Kalpida Nurveli Gada Yenme Sanjagrihe Vakim Bhavan Manadamana Yen Edavati Vashushrusha Kairya Pitari Putragai Badamityani Manyeda Gauravena Guru Vaja Imadu Hidrasabhyadava Valsasumadhyama Sarkam Medam Prabhava Isuair ബൃഹയും ഷന്ധ്യനേകത അതസ്തു മൃഷിമുഖേഭ്യോ യഥാശീലം യഥാ രുചി ആത്മജാ പരിദേഹ്യദ്യവിസ്തൃണീഹ്യശോ ഭുവി വേദാഹ മാദ്യം പുരുഷമവതീർണം സുമായ ഭൂതാനാം ശൈവതിം ദേഹം വിഭ്രാണം കപിലം മുനേ ജ്ഞാന വിജ്ഞാനയോഗേന കർമ്മണാമുദ്ധരഞ്ജട ഹിരണ്യകേശ പത്മാക്ഷ പ്രഭ്രമുദ്രാ പദാംബുജ യേഷ മാനവിദേ ഗർഭം പ്രവിഷ്ട കൈടവാർദ്ധന അവിദ്യ സംശയഗ്രന്ഥിം ചിത്വഗാം പരിവ്യചരിഷ്യതി അയം സിദ്ധഗണാധീശ സംഖ്യാ സംഖ്യാചാര്യേ സുസമ്മത ലോകേ കപിലമിത്യാഖ്യം ഗന്ധാദേ കീർത്തിവർദ്ധന ശ്രീ മൈത്രയുവാച താവാശ്വാസജകൃഷ്ട കുമാരേ സഹ നാരദ ഹംസേ ഹംസേന യാനേ ത്രിധാമ പരമം യയോ യദേശ ദദ്ദദോക്ഷത കർത്തമസ്തേന ചോദിത യഥോദിതം സുദുഹിതം പ്രാദാദിശ്വസജാം തദാ മരീചയേ കലാം പ്രാദ അനസൂയാമധാത്രയേ ശ്രദ്ധാമംഗിരസേ യച്ചൽ പുലസ്യായ ഹവിർഭുവം പുലഹായ ഗതിം യുക്തം കൃതവേചക്രിയാം സതിം ഖ്യാതിം ചുപകയേച്ച വസിഷ്ഠായ പെരുന്ദതിം അഥർവണേ തദാച്ഛാന്തിമയാജ്ഞോവിതന്യതേ വിപ്രഷവാൻമതോദ്വാഹൻ സദാരൻ സമലാളയൽ താതസ്തൃഷേക്ഷത്തകൃതധാരാ നിമന്ത്രിതം പാതിഷ്ഠ നദിമാപന്നസ്വം സുമാശ്രമമണ്ഡലം സജാവതീർണം ത്രികമാജ്ഞാ വിഭുധർഷവം വിവേക്തോപസംഗമ്യ പ്രണമ്യ സമഭാഷത അഹോപാവച്യമാനാനാം നിരയേ സ്വൈരമംഗളേ കാലേന ഭൂയസാനൂനം പ്രസീദന്തിഹ ദേവത ബഹുജന്മവിഭക്തേന സമ്യഗോഗ്യ സമാധിന ദൃഷ്ടം നിതന്തേയത ശൂന്യാകാര്യേഷു യൽപദം സ ഏവ ഭഗവാൻ അധ്യഹേളനം ഗണയ്യന ഗൃഹേഷു ജാതോ ഗ്രാമ്യണം യസ്വാനാം ഭക്ഷമോഷണ സ്വീയം വാക്യമൃതം കർത്തുമേവ തീർണോസി മേ ഗൃഹേ ശീകൃഷു ഭഗവാൻ ജ്ഞാനം ഭക്താനം മനോവർദ്ധന താന്യേവ ദേഭി രൂപാണി രൂപാണി ഭഗവം സ്തവായാനി യാനി ച രോചന്തേ സുജാനാം സുജനാ നാമരൂപിണ ത്വാം സൂര്യവിസ്തത്ത് ഭൂപിൽ സയാദാ സദാ വിവാദാർഹണ പാദപീഠം ഐശ്വര്യ വൈരാഗ്യേശോഭോധം വീര്യശ്രീയാം മുഹൂർത്തമഹം പ്രപദ്യേ പരം പ്രധാനം പുരുഷം മഹാന്തം കാലം കവിം ധ്രുവതം ലോകപാലം ആത്മനുഭൂത്യാനുഗത പ്രപഞ്ചം സ്വച്ഛന്ദ ശക്തിം കപിലം പ്രപദ്യേ ആ അസ്മാവി പ്രക്ഷേതിപതിം പ്രജാനാം ത്വയാവതീർണ ഉദാപ്ത കാമ പരിവ്രജൽ പദവീമാസ്തിഹം പരീക്ഷേത്വാം ഹൃദിയുഞ്ജന്മിശോക മയാ പ്രോക്തം ഹി ലോകസ്യ പ്രമാണം സത്യലൗകികേ അഥാചനിമയാദുബ്യതവോചമൃതം മുനി ഏതന്മേ ജന്മലോകേ സിംഹമുക്ഷൂണാം ദുരാശയാൽ പ്രസംഖ്യായ നായതത്വാനാം സമ്മതായാത്മദർശനി യഷ ആത്മാവതോ വ്യക്തഷ്ട അവിവ്യക്തോ നഷ്ടകാലേന ഭൂയസാ തം പ്രവർത്തയിതും ദേഹമിമം വിധിമയാദൃതം ഗച്ഛകാമമയം പൃഷ്ടോമയ സന്യസകർമ്മണ ജിത്വാ സുതജയ മൃത്യു അമൃതത്വായ മാം ഭജാം. മമാത്മാനം സ്വയം ജ്യോതിർ സർവോദുഹാശയം ആത്മന്യവാത്മനാവീക്ഷ വിശോകോ അഭയമൃച്ഛസി മാത്രാദ്യാൽപികീം വിദ്യാം ശമനീം സർവകർമ്മണാം വിദരിഷേയാ ചാസോഭയം ചാതിധരിഷ്യതി മൈത്രയുവാച ഏവം സമുദിതസ്ഥേന കപിലേന പ്രജാപതി ദക്ഷിണീകൃത്യതം പ്രീതോ വനമേവ ജഗാമഹ വ്രതം സമസ്തിതോ മൗനമാത്മൈക ശരണോ മുനി നിസ്സംഗോ വിചരക്ഷോണി അനഗ്നികേതന മനോബ്രഹ്മണീം ജാനോ യത്ര സദസദപരം ഗുണാവഭാസേ വിഗുണമേകഭക്ത്യാനുഭാവിതേ നിരഹംകൃതർന്നമ മശ്ചാ നിർദ്വന്ദ സമദൃക് സ്വതക് പ്രത്യേക പ്രശാന്തീർ പ്രശാന്തോർമിരിവോധതി വാസുദേവേ ഭഗവതി സർവജ്ഞ പ്രത്യേകാത്മനി പരേണ ഭക്തിഭാവേന ലബ്ധ്വാത്മാ മുക്തബന്ധന ആത്മാനം സർവഭൂതേഷു ഭഗവന്തമവസ്ഥിതം അപശ്യാൽ സർവഭൂതാനി ഭഗവത്യഭിചാത്മനി ഇച്ഛാദ്വേഷവിഹീന സർവത്ര സമചേതസാ ഭഗവത്ഭക്തിയുക്തേന പ്രാപ്തോ ഭഗവതീ ഗതി. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം തൃതീയസ്കന്ധേ കാപിലയോ വാഖ്യാനെ ചതുർവിംശതിമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. കർദ്ദൻസ് പ്രജാപതി ഫെൽറ്റ് ദി എൻട്രൻസ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻ ടു ഹിസ് ഓൺ ബോഡി. ഹി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് മൂവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ടു ഹിസ് body, and it is after that the garbhadhanam that Devahuti Devi becomes pregnant. Many interesting things there. This Kapila Maharshi whom we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is the propounder of the Sankhya philosophy, It is the same Kavila whom we will see in the ninth canto later, where Amshuman and went looking for the horses which were stolen, and many authorized people say that it is this Kavila Maharshi's ashram, later on what we call today's California in America, because the proof for that is that Horse Island and Ash Island, the two islands which are close to California, is the place where the horses got burned. and that's the Ash Island and the Horse Island. So based on this, Paramacharya says this, that that name Kapilaranyam, it was called then, and in due course of time became California. And not only that, Shastram also says, if you look in Kapila Maharshi's features in the Bhagavatam, he looks more like a person from the west rather than from the east. His bodily features, the hair, the whole complexion, everything. So therefore, the assumption is that Kapila Maharshi and the Kapila Maharshi's ashram, everything was in America, in California area. That is how it is understood, and many people accept it that way. So, Kapila Maharshi, and this interesting thing about this philosophy is, Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam is, Sankhyam is a very much a part of the Jnanamargam. In the Jnanamargam, when you go further, like in the Panchadashi and all that, when you start reading, you will notice there that certain things Kapila Maharshi has spoken is quoted and taken into that very seriously. Like, for example, when we have these five senses, through these five senses, they are called the knowledge acquiring senses, senses of knowledge, isn't it? Eyes, ears, tongue, nose, and skin, touch. So these five senses, through them, we acquire knowledge. We acquire different experiences in this world through these senses, isn't it? We experience this through these senses. Kapila Maharshi said that the knowledge what bring this inside us is one. That's the important thing. One knowledge, it is with that knowledge which goes through five exits and collect the information from there, but knowledge is one. They are not separate. That's one thing. Do you know what I'm saying? That suppose you are seeing something and you are hearing something. Both are an experience inside. How you are experiencing that? Through knowledge, isn't it? That the thing called a knowledge inside is giving you the experience of that object through the eyes. The same knowledge gives you the experience of the sound from outside. That experience, when it happens inside, whether you see through the eyes, whether you hear through the ears, whether you smell through the nose, whether you taste through the tongue, whether you experience through the skin, knowledge is one. One anubhavam, that experience inside is one. That's the most important thing. That is not changed. And that is why in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, what it did say? Vadallida tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advaya jnanam. That advaya jnanam is that. Advaya jnanam means that oneness in that knowledge, there is no duality there. There is only one knowledge, advaya jnanam. That brings you the experiences from the eyes, from the ears, from the nose, from the tongue, from the skin. From everywhere. Because experiences are coming in different ways, isn't it? When you see, you have one experience inside. When you hear something, you have a different experience. But the vastu that is bringing all these things inside is one. In our mind, we are perceiving in a different way. But the knowledge that is bringing it together, pulling it together and bringing it inside is one. That's one. Secondly, to make us aware that the Advaya Jnanam, how important it is. That's why that verse in the Bhagavatam is so important. When we say, Vadandida Tattvaidam Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam, he says very specifically there. Tattvam Yat Jnanam, that Tattvam is Advaya Jnanam. One without, there is no duality there. Advaya Jnanam is that Tattvam. What else? When we are in the vacant state, we are perceiving things. Again, the same knowledge inside is helping to perceive that, isn't it? When you go into the dream state, you are again experiencing something in the dream world. You are experiencing the dream world. And then, when you go into deep sleep also, you are experiencing happiness there, in the deep sleep state. So in the three states, in vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, you are experiencing the gross world, the subtle world, and the causal world, karana shariram. So in all these three worlds, whatever experiences you are having is again the same knowledge is bringing forward, back to us. You will see this in the Vidyarani Swamiji's Panchadashi. He explains this very well there. So, Kapila Maharshi has spoken about this in the Kapilam. Talks about that. So, coming back, we'll discuss that later on, because when you go into 25th chapter onwards, it's completely Kapilam. This is 24th chapter. In this, Kapila Maharshi appears. From 25th to 33 is called Kapilam. Kapila means it's Kapila Maharshi's teachings to the world. So, he says here, Devahuti Devi, in course of time, got pregnant again, and it is Devahuti got pregnant, and in course of time, on an auspicious occasion, Devahuti had by now has changed completely changed. All that happy life she had, traveling into heavenly planets and other things, and the whole aeroplane, everything is lying there. She has no interest in any of those things anymore. And then on the banks of this Bindusaras, Kapila Maharshi appeared from Devahuti Devi as Kapila Vasudev. He appeared as Kapila Vasudev. Lord Brahma immediately understood that it is Krishna's incarnations. So along with the demigods and the Gandharvas, Brahma comes there and celebrated the appearance. Flowers were offered, drums were beaten, Apsaras women have danced, and Brahma goes to Kardava Prajapati and says to him that this is not an ordinary person, this is the Supreme Lord himself who has come in this form, and in course of during the period of time, flow of time, every appearance of Krishna has a purpose behind it, and in this incarnation as Kapila Maharshi is to resuscitate, to rejuvenate that Sankhya Yogam which was present in this world before but which has been lost. To bring that back again, he has appeared as Kapila Maharshi. He said like that. And Sankhyam has become Nirishwara, atheistic Sankhyam. And in this time, for self-realization, Seshwara Sankhyam. That means that accepting the Krishna as the supreme authority, and in that way the intention is to broadcast Sankhya Yoga in this world, and that is the purpose of this incarnation. Brahma glorified Kapila Vasudev. After that, Brahma says to Karana Prajapati that after all it's your son, isn't it? And you have been instructed. Brahma is Kardama Prajapati's father. Brahma felt very happy with Kardama Prajapati. Not like Daksha. With Kardama he was happy. He says to Kardama, I have given you some instructions. And you have done that properly. What did Brahma say to Kardama? Go and perform penances. Please Krishna. And after that enter into householder life. And have a family life. This is what he said to him. And Kardama Prajapati did everything what he was told by Brahma. So Brahma was naturally pleased. So he says to him, I have given you some instructions and you have followed it very well. Therefore, I told you to get married and have children. And not only that, you got married, had children, and you have succeeded in something more important than all that, he says. You have no attachment to the family. Although you had family, but you have no attachment there. More than anything, he says, you have managed to get a son who can break the attachment of people who are attached to the families. Referring to Kapila Vasudev. So that's your success, Brahma says to Kardama Prajapati. First thing is that you have no attachment in home. Because Kardama Prajapati was ready to go to take sannyasam and go to the forest. Which needs the strength, isn't it? And not only that, you got a son who is capable of breaking up their attachment to the home in this world and saving them from this material existence. And you got a son like that. So that's your success, he says to him. And you have done the job very well. Brahma congratulated Kardama Prajapati. Because it is through Sankhyam that which Kapila Maharshi is going to talk from 25 to 33, you will notice that what is spiritual life? He will explain that very well there. So, Krishna is there, Kadabrajavadi is sitting there, and what Kardama is thinking, sorry, our Kapilavasudeva is sitting there, Kardamaprajapati is also there, and Brahma is saying all these things to Kardamaprajapati, and then Brahma is glorifying Kapilavasudeva in his own way, in his own style. But Kapilavasudeva is saying here that all this Vedantam is not good enough for me. Father is going to the forest. You will say all these nice things and you will go. I am left with these 9 girls here. What am I supposed to do? This is what is going through Kadambrajavadi. So that's a big prarabdham for Kapilavasudeva, isn't it? Because he is the only male member in the family, and these 9 girls also, the 9 elder sisters, that too. So Brahma will go back after all this glorification. He does his part and he goes away. So Kadambrajavadi will go to the forest, taking his sannyasa, he is gone. So then what he has to do, he has to look around to find a proper match for these girls, isn't it? So Brahma says to, so Brahma understood what Kapilavasudeva is thinking. Brahma sensed that. So Brahma says to Kapilavasudeva, don't worry, I have brought the husbands for these girls. in a way to pacify Kapilavasudeva, says to him. Because with Brahma, all the Prajapatis had come. All of them, 10 of them had come with him. So let's marry them to these 9 girls. This was agreed. So, because Kardama Prajapati has listened to me, I brought these boys with me. Because he was so good, he has listened to everything. So he should not have any difficulty. He should be able to go back to the forest happily. And Kapilavasudeva should be able to carry on with this mission. So I brought these 9 children of mine, Prajapatis, with me, and they can marry the girls, he said. So there are only 9 girls. There's 10 men here. So Brahma's 10 children have come, and there are only 9 girls there. So there's shortage of one man. And Brahma was thinking, we shouldn't have problem here because of this. Brahma says, if any of you, addressing his 10 children, he says to them, if any of you don't want to get married, let me know. That's how he puts it to all the 10 of them. So, Narada Maharshi was a little bit worried that he is going to get caught up in this whole thing. So, Narada Maharshi took the advantage of that and he says to them, because Narada Maharshi was worried that my father will force me to marry somebody. He was worrying like that, but he thought this is the right opportunity. Immediately Narada Maharshi got up and told him that please take me out of the list, he said. So the whole thing became very convenient. 9 girls and the 9 boys. So Brahma's 9 children and Devahuti Devi's daughters, 9 daughters, in a good auspicious time, Brahma married them. For marriage, you have to look at the timing also, isn't it? Auspicious time and all that. When Brahma is arranging the marriage, you don't have to look. That's the rule. Brahma can decide when he wants to marry them. So, all of them were married. And so, when the girls got married to these 9 boys, that's why you will see that list there. Mariji, Atri, Angirasa, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha. 10th one is Narada. Narada is taken out from the list, so other 9. Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha. These 9 of them married these 9 girls, daughters of Devahuti Devi. It didn't cost anything for Brahma marrying these 9 girls. So, you can imagine if it is these days, how much it would cost. Brahma saved all that. All that money. So, and Brahma sent all of them away, and Brahma said, bid farewell to Kapilavasudeva and went back to Brahmalokam. Kardama Prajapati then came back and said to Kapilavasudeva, comes to him, paid his obeisances to the son. Father paid obeisances to the son. And he says to Kapilavasudeva, when I married Devahuti Devi, we had an agreement, mutually. What was that? If I have a son, I will take to sannyasashram. That was the agreement. If I have a son, if a son is born, immediately I will take sannyasashram. But if I didn't think about it too much, I didn't know that you were going to come as my son directly like this. And if I had thought about this, I may not have made this agreement, because it looks very funny now. One takes sannyasam to get Krishna. Now Krishna is coming into the family as your own son. So what is the point in taking sannyasam? It becomes very awkward, isn't it? But at the same time, I have made an agreement like this, that I wanted to take sannyasam, because that was what I have told Devahuti Devi. So Krishna, Kapila Vasudeva asked to Kardama Prajapati, what is the purpose of sannyasam? What's the purpose of sannyasam? For self-realization, isn't it? To realize the self. And if to Krishna himself comes home as a son, then should you go back to the forest then? But Kapila Vasudeva didn't ask that question. Why? Reason is this, that Kapila Vasudeva says to Kardama Prajapati that today I am here and you have the desire to go to the forest to realize the truth. It's very strongly inside you. That's why you have decided to go now. Because I had come, you are thinking of postponing it. But don't do that, he said. Because when you have a desire in the spiritual life, immediately you should go in that direction, rather than keeping it back. Because if you stay back, the possibility is that tomorrow some other material desires will come back again and spiritual goal may be completely forgotten. That can happen. In our own life, if you look, you will see this happening. That when spiritual desires come, it should be given all the help and support, rather than thinking I'll postpone it, because those desires may not come very easily inside. When it comes, it's an opportunity to work on that, to develop on that. Instead, if you postpone it thinking that it's all for the old age, who knows at the old age whether it will happen or not? Such a desire may not happen. So that is why Kapila Vasudeva says to Kardama Prajapati, now that you are so strongly feeling that desire for sannyasashram and going to the forest to realize the self, you should go. You should not stay here. Saying this, son sends him to the forest. So, vanameva jagamaha. He says, sir, you look in there, the verse, the in that chapter, there is a 41, in the 24, chapter 24. Evam samudidastena kapilena prajapati dakshini krityadam prito vanameva jagamaha. He says like that. Vanameva jagamaha. Here, see that word ha, vanameva jagamaha. That ha is a letter. Normally it wasn't necessary. Vanameva jagamaha. The ha wasn't necessary there, but ha has a special significance, because normally you won't use one letter in the Srimad Bhagavatam unnecessarily. They will not use that there. But the reason for that is that the word ha has a special significance in that verse, that it has so seriousness. That reason is this: Kardama Prajapati had this doubt in his mind, should I stay home or should I go to the forest? Should I stay home or should I go to the forest? Vanameva jahamaha. But he is not getting that decision, unable to make that courage to make that decision. So, because Krishna has come as a son, how to leave him? It is to get Krishna that you are going to the forest. Now Krishna has come as a son, and how to leave him and go to the forest? He was in a completely confused state. That is why, vanameva jagamaha, if I stay here, the opulence what he has got is something even beyond what Swayambhu Manu had. That kind of opulence he can have here. And there is that aeroplane lying there which even the demigods cannot think about. And Krishna has himself come as the sun. So in all way or in every aspect, if you look at it, staying home is more worthwhile. Krishna has come as the sun, then the material facilities are very good, and in spite of all that, not only that, Swayambhu Manu's daughter is the wife, Devahuti Devi. So, but he is thinking, in the middle of all this, if I stay here, will I develop attachment tomorrow? Well, that can happen, isn't it? When material life is very comfortable, if everything is good in life, money, health, all other material comforts, if everything is there, in a subtle level, without our knowledge, attachment will build up inside to all that, isn't it? So, he is frightened. Kradama Prajapati is frightened. So, he is thinking that, if I stay in the middle of all these things, I will, one day I may get attached, who knows, he says there. Best thing is to go. And he gets up. And then he thought, Krishna is here, sitting here. How to leave Krishna and go from here? Kapila Vasudeva is sitting there. So in this way, this side, that side, the mind is oscillating. And that is why that letter ha there. Vanameva jagama ha. Ha means that oscillation of the mind. The oscillation of the mind is indicated in that. Vanameva jagamaha. Jagamaha. So, first of all, he accepted Devahuti Devi as the wife. And he also felt that Devahuti has to be cared for. And when it is time for him to take sannyasam and go, without being cared for Devahuti Devi, that will be a little bit unfair to her. So, he was thinking like this, that I have little responsibility towards Devahuti also. With these 9 girls living with Devahuti and me walking away from here. So, in this confusion, to indicate the mind of that Kardama Prajapati is why that letter Ha has come there. Vanameva Jagamaha. Kardama Prajapati's confusion inside. Kapila Vasudev understood the problem what Kardama Prajapati is facing. He says to him that, to father, what are you thinking about? Kapila Vasudev says to Kardama Prajapati that if you take sannyasam and go away, what will happen to Devahuti, to my mother? That's what you are thinking about, aren't you? He says to her. Kapila Vasudev says to Kardama Prajapati. He says to Kardama Prajapati, you go to the forest and perform your austerities and penances, and then you go back to Vaikuntham. But before he gets there, I will make sure that my mother is already there before you get there. That's what he said. Before you get there, after going to the forest, engaging in spiritual life in the forest, and then after executing spiritual life, you will go back to Vaikuntham. But I'll make sure that before you get to Vaikuntham, Devahuti Devi will be in Vaikuntham. Before that. Said, and when Devahuti heard this, tears came from her eyes. Seeing Kapila Vasudev's that words, hearing from that. Kardama also, vanameva jagamaha. The happiness in Kardama's heart, that Kapila Vasudev was ready to take care of Devahuti Devi in the proper way. And Kardama Prajapati, with tears coming, he went back into the forest. And he went back to the forest, engaged in spiritual life, and got liberated. Went back to the spiritual world. Then, now, what's happened? In the ashram, there is Kapila Vasudev and Devahuti Devi left behind. There's nobody else there. The 9 daughters got married to Brahma's children. They've gone. So, what's left now in the ashram is only Devahuti Devi and Kapila Vasudev. And at that time, Kapila Vasudev's intention was to preach this Sankhya Yogam in the world. And let me begin this with the mother. This is how we thought. To begin with the mother, with Devahuti Devi. So, Sankhyam is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge of the self. That is Sankhya Yoga. So, he decided that let me begin with this mother. But, then, why not call mother and start giving the instructions to her? No, that won't work. That will not work. Because there is a thing called the person one should want it. Only when somebody wants it, if you give it, it will have some value. If somebody doesn't want it, if you bring a person forcefully and tell him all the Vedantam to that person, he won't take it. He doesn't know the value of it, isn't it? So inside us, only when you feel that desire to have it, only at that time, if it is spoken, it will have its effect. It will have its effect. Otherwise, it won't. You can see this, a great, great personality is the same thing happening. One day, a mother, she lost her husband at a young age, had small children. And she came to Ramana Maharshi and tells him all her distress. She was saying to Ramana Maharshi about it. Maharshi heard everything, didn't say anything. Temporarily consoled her in a way that things happen in life and in a normal way. Consoled her. After a few months, when she came, when things became a little bit more normal, when you are in a terrible distress, if you give philosophical understanding, it will not work. Because that distress takes away everything. You don't have the whole mind is focused, attachment and all other things overpowers a person. So this mother also, when Maharshi, knowing very well the mood of that person, didn't say one word at that time. After many months, one instance, he asked her that, remember when you came one day, that after you lost your husband, how you were crying at that time. She was in tears because she was feeling so lost in this world. So she says to him, yes, I was in a terrible distress and I felt distress because of the separation. Because of the separation. Maharshi said to her, imagine, say your husband is sitting in the next room. You are not seeing him, but you feel that he is there. Something is inside you, and that is only a thought wave inside. Is it not? That he is there in that room, and you are thinking that he is there, and he is feeling, you are feeling satisfied. You are not feeling separation, because he is sitting there. What's the difference now? He is somewhere. Instead of sitting in that room, he is sitting somewhere else. You are not able to understand that, the difference. There is no difference. This relationship, because when you are on the platform of the body, all relationships are like that. That is the important point. That you feel that oh, somebody is with you, somebody is not with you. Nobody is with you and nobody is away from you. This relationship is only because of our strong identification with the body. Maharshi was trying to explain that to that lady, that your distress has no meaning practically, because based on the bodily identity, you are crying, you are thinking that you are happy, you are unhappy, all these things. So here also you can see, Kapila Vasudev realized it, that unless Devahuti Devi is ready for it, it's no point in giving the Sankhyam to her. When she is, even if you speak to her, when she is not ready, it will not get inside. It will not get inside. Only when you are thirsty, you will enjoy drinking water. Is it not? When you are very thirsty and you give a glass of water, you will enjoy it. Similarly, so the person has to become more serious in spiritual life, that I want to understand what is Krishna. Who am I? All these questions, if it is building up inside, only in that situation, if you speak Sankhyam to that person, it will have its effect. Otherwise, if I don't need to know anything, if I feel that I don't want to know about Krishna, I don't want to know about Atma, I don't want to know about Brahman, I don't want to know about Maya, I don't want to know about modes of nature, if I'm not interested, then if you keep on telling me all these things, what effect will it be? It won't have any benefit, isn't it? So, first thing is to have that desire to build up inside. That is why Kapila Vasudeva was willing to wait as long as it was necessary till Devahuti Devi is ready for it. Devahuti Devi is ready for it. So that is why that is the Kapila Vasudeva's first thing. In the Bhagavatam you will see in the two chapters, 25th and 26th, where it begins that this understanding that without a person being ready for spiritual life, no matter how much philosophy or Vedantam you pump onto that person, it won't have any effect on the person. It cannot digest it because the person is not ready. Adhigarityam, as it is called in the Shastra. So that's how we'll begin with Kapila, 25th chapter. Shridharacharya Swamiji says there, Panjavimshe Jananyatu Prishto Bandha Vimochanam Adav Ahaparam Bhakti Lakshanam Kapila Sudha. So Kapilamurti, Kapila Vasudev is going to talk, but Devahuti Devi's question was, what is Bandham and what is liberation? What is bondage? What is liberation? And in that process, first thing he talked about Adavaha Param Bhakti, about Parabhakti, not about Sadhana Bhakti, about Parabhakti. Lakshanam Kapila Sudha, and says to her that Parabhakti is the goal. Parabhakti is the goal. Kabilena Arpida Matre, Guda Bhavani Yandrida, Yoga Manikyamam Jusha, Spudamul Ghatidya Adhuna. This Parabhakti is not easy to get. And it is only possible, he says, Shridharacharya Swami says here, this Parabhakti is like a jewel which is locked up in a big treasure. And if you want to open it, he says, the inward looking nature has to be there. Antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam, he says, Kapilena Arpida Matre Guda Bhavani Yandrida Yoga Manikyamam Jusha Spudam Ulkhatyade Adhuna. And for the sake of Devahuti Devi, Kapila Maharshi opened that treasure and released it for her to experience it. So it is through Kapila Maharshi's grace that Devahuti is enjoying that Parabhakti, which eventually got her released from this world. So we'll start with that 25th chapter now. 25th, and there is 25th to 33 is all Kapilam. It's 8 chapters, almost 9 chapters is Kapilam, but we'll go by a couple of chapters each time. Shri Shaunaka Uvacha Kapilas Tattva Sankhyava Abhavan Alpamaya Jada Swamaja Sakshal Atma Pratyaptaye Nunam Nahya Savarshpana Pumsamvarim Na Sarvayoginam Vishudoshuda Devasya Vuridrapyanti Me Sava Yadidate Bhagavan Swachanda Alpamaya Tani Me Shraddhana Sakirtanya Anukirtaya Suta Uvacha Dvaibhayana Sakasteva Maitreyo Bhagavam Sada Prahedam Viduram Pridamani Ukshikyam Prajodhita Maitreyo Uvacha Pidare Prastade Ranye Madhu Prejage Rishaya Tasmin Bindu Sarel Vasil Bhagavan Kapilakila Tamasinam Akarmanam Tattva Marga Agra Darshanam Susudam Devahutyaha Dhadu Samsaradim Vacha Devahuti Vacha Nirvinnam Itaram Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyam Anena Prapannantham Tama Prabho Tasyatvam Tamasondasya Dushparasya Adhyabharakam Satchasho Janmanamande Labdham Me Tadanugrahal Ya Adyo Bhagavan Mamsam Isharo Vai Bhavan Kila Lokasya Tamasandasya Chakshu Suryam Ivo Dida Athame Devasam Mohamabhakrashtum Tamarhasi Yo Avagrahamma Meditya Dasmin Yojidasvaya Tam Tvashgadaham Sharanam Sharanyam Sumbratya Samsara Daryo Kutharam Jityasaya Aham Prakrde Purush Purushasya Namami Saddharma Vidam Varishtam Idi Sumadur Niravadyam Ipsidam Nishamibum Samavarga Vardhanam Diyabhinandiyalpavadam Sadam Gadir Vibhashamishal Smita Shobhidananam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yoga Madhyalpiya Pumsam Mato Nishrayasayami Atyando Ubaradiyatra Dukkasya Sukhasya Cha Tamimam De Pravakshami Yamavocham Puranake Krishinam Shodugamanam Yogam Sarvanga Naipunam Cheta Kalyasya Bhandaya Muktaye Jalpanubadam Gunesha Saktam Bandhaya Radam Vapumsi Muktaye Aham Mamahyano Te Kamalobhadi Vermale Vidam Yadamana Shuddhama Dukkama Sukham Samam Tada Apurusham Alpanam Kevalam Prakrte Param Nirandaram Swayam Jyoti Animanam Akhanditam Jnana Vairagya Yuktena Bhakti Yuktena Cha Alpana പരിപശ്യുദാസീനം പ്രകൃതി ചതോജസം നയുജ്യമാനയാ ഭക്ത്യാ ഭഗവത്യഖിലാത്മനി സദൃശോസ്തി ശിവപന്ഥാ യോഗിനാം ബ്രഹ്മസിദ്ധയേ പ്രസംഗമജനം പാശമാത്മാനം കവയോ വിദു സേവ സാധുഷുക്തോ മോക്ഷദ്വാരമപാവൃതം തിദിക്ഷവ കാരുണിക സുഹൃദ സർവദേഹിനാം അജാതശത്രുവശാന്ത സാധവ സാധുഭൂഷണാം മയി അന്യേന ഭവേന ഭാവേന ഭക്തിം കുർവന്തി യേ ദൃഢാം മൽക്കതേ ത്യക്തകർമാണ ത്യക്തസുജന ബാന്ധവ മദാശ്രയ കഥാമൃഷ്ടാ ശൃണ്വന്തി കഥയന്തി ച ജോഷണാശുഭവർഗവർഭക്തിരനുക്രമിഷ്യതിരാഗമേന്ദ്രിയാം ദുഷ്ടശുദാത്മദ്രജനാനുചിന്തയാ ചിത്തസേ യത്നോ ഗ്രഹണേ യോഗയുക്തോ യദൃശ്യതേ ഹൃജുവിര്യോഗമാർഗൈ അസേവയായം പ്രകൃതിർഗുണാനം ന്യായേന വൈരാഗ്യവിചരംബിതേന യോഗേനമയ്യർപ്പിതയാ ച ഭക്ത്യ മാം പ്രത്യഗാത്മാനം ഇഹാവരുന്ധേ ദേവഹൂതിരുവാച ക്വചിത്തൈവ ഉചിതാ ഭക്ത്യാ കീദൃശീ മമ ഗോചര യാപദം നിർവാണമഞ്ജസാന്വശ്നവാമഹം യോ യോഗോ ഭഗവൽപാണോ നിർവാണാത്മസ്തംസ്തയോദിതാ കീദൃശാ കതിജാം കുതിജാം കതിജാംഗാണി യത്തസ്തത്വാബോധനം തദേ തന്മേ വിജാനീഹി യദഹം മന്ദധീർഹരേ സുഖം ബുദ്ധേ ദുർബോധം യോഷാം ഭവദനുഗ്രഹാൽ മൈത്രയോവാച വിദിതാർത്ഥം കപിലോ മാധുരിത്തം ജാതസ്നേഹോ യത്ര തന്വഭിജാത തത്വാന്നായം യൽ പ്രവദന്തി സാഖ്യം സാഖ്യം പ്രോവാച വൈ ഭക്തിവിധാന യോഗം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ദേവാനാം ഗുണലിംഗാനാം അനുശ്രവ്യകർമ്മണാം സത്വമേവൈകമനസോ വൃത്തി സ്വാഭാവികീ ത്വയാ അനിമിത്താ ഭഗവതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധീർഗരീയസീ ജടയത്യാശുയാ കോശം നികീർണമനലോ യഥ നൈകാൽപദാമേ സ്പൃഹയന്തി കേജിൽ അൽപാദ സേവാഭിരതാമധിഹ യോ അന്യോന്യതോ ഭാഗവത പ്രസജ്ജ സഭാജയന്തേ മമ പൗരുഷാണി പശ്യന്തി ദേമേനുചുരാണ്യം വസന്ത പ്രസന്നവക്ത്രാരുണലോചനാനി രൂപാണി ദിവ്യാനി വരപ്രദാനി സാകം വാചം സ്പൃഹണീയാം വദന്തി തദ്ദർശനീയാവയവൈരുദാര ഉല്ലാസഹാസേക്ഷിതവാമസൂക്തൈ കൃതാത്മനോ കൃതപ്രാണാംശ ഭക്തരാണി ചതോമേഗതിമണ്ണീം പ്രയുക്തൈ അഥോ വിഭൂതി മമായാവിനസ്ത ഐശ്വര്യം അഷ്ടാംഗമനുപ്രവൃത്തം ശ്രീയം ഭാഗവതീം വാസ്പ്രഹ്യന്തി ഭദ്രാം പരസ്യമേദേഷ്ണുവദേതു ലോകേ നഹർഹിജിന്മൽ പരാശാന്തരൂപേ നംക്ഷന്തി നോമേ അനിമിഷോലേടി ഹേദി യേഷാമഹം പ്രിയ ആത്മാ സുതശ്ച സഖാ ഗുരു സുഹൃതോ ദൈവമിഷ്ടം ഇമം ലോകം ദൈവാം തൈവാമോ ആത്മാനുഭയായിനം ആത്മാനുമയേ ച ഹയേ രായ പശവോ ഗൃഹ വിസൃജ്യ സർവാനന്യാം ക്ഷമാമേവം വിശദോഹം ഭജന്തി അനന്യയാ ഭക്ത്യാവാൻ മൃത്യുരതിപാരയേ നന്യത്രമൽ ഭഗവതം പ്രധാന പുരുഷേശ്വരാൽ ആത്മാന സർവഭൂതാനാം ഭയം തീവ്രം നിവർത്തത മദ്ഭയാദ്വാദി വാദോയം സൂര്യസ്തപതി മദ്ഭയാൽ വർഷതീന്ദ്രോ ഹത്യഗ്നിർമൃത്യുശ്ചതി മദ്ഭയാൽ ജ്ഞാനവൈരാഗ്യയുക്തേന ഭക്തിയോഗേന യോഗിത ഭക്ഷയമായ പാദമൂലം മേ പ്രവിശന് ജഗതോ ഭയം ഏതാവാൻ ഇവലോകേസ്മിനും സാംനിശ്രയസോദയ തീവ്രേണ ഭക്തിയോഗേന മയോ മയ്യപ്യതസ്ഥിരം ഇത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായം തൃതീയ സ്കന്ധേ കപിലയോവാഖ്യാനേ പഞ്ചവിംശതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഷഡ്വിംശേപം പ്രതിത്വസ്തു വിവേകായോപവർണ്യതേ സാംഖ്യേന സർവഭാവാന ജന്മലക്ഷണ ഭേദതാം സോ പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് പുരുഷ ടു തിങ്സ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദി സാംഖ്യം സംഖ്യശാസ്ത്രം ആൻഡ് ദി തത്വം ആൻഡ് ദി സിംപ്റ്റംസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ദാത്ര പുത്രയൽ പ്രോക്തം ക്ഷത്രേ മിത്രസുതേനയൽ മാത്രേ സാംഖ്യം തദ്ധ്യാൽപം പ്രാധാന്യേനാഹ തത്വവിൽ ബ്രഹ്മ ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ടഡ് ദിസ് ടു ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി മൈത്രേയ മഹർഷി സ്പോക്ക് ദിസ് ടു വിദുര ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് സാംഖ്യശാസ്ത്രം വിച്ച് ഈസ് വെരി ഫേമസ് ആൻഡ് തത്വജ്ഞ അബൌട്ട് ദി പീപ്പിൾ ഹു നോസ് തത്വം എമംഗ് ദം കപില മഹർഷി ഫോർ ദ സേക്ക് ഓഫ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ സ്പോക്ക് ദിസ് ടു ദേവഹൂതി ദേവി ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച അതേ സംപ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി തത്വാനാം ലക്ഷണം പൃഥക് യതി ദ്വിത്വായ മുച്ചേത പുരുഷ പ്രകൃതിയർ ഗുണൈ ജ്ഞാനം നിശ്രയസാർത്ഥായ പുരുഷസ്യാത്മദർശനം യദാഹുർവർണയ തത്തേ ഹൃദയ ഗ്രന്ഥി വേദനം അനാദിൽ ആത്മാ പുരുഷോ നിർഗുണ പ്രകൃതിയെ പരാ പ്രത്യക്തമാസം ജ്യോതിർവിശ്വം യേന സമന്യുതം സ ഏഷ പ്രകൃതിം സൂക്ഷ്മാം ദേവീം ഗുണമയീം വിഭു യദർച്ചയോപഗതാമഭ്യവദ്യതലീലയ ഗുണേർവിചിത്രാസജതിം സ്വരൂപാ പ്രകൃതിം പ്രജാ വിലോക്യമുഹേ സദ്യസഹ്യജ്ഞാനഗൂഹയ സദ്യസമിഹ ജ്ഞാനഗൂഹയാം ഏവം പരാവിദ്യാനേന കർത്തൃത്വം പ്രകൃതേ ഭവാൻ കർമ്മസുക്രയമാണേഷു ഗുണൈരാത്മനിമന്യതേ തസ്യൈ സംസദർബന്ധം സാരന്ദ്രം ജതൽ കൃതം ഭവത്യകർത്തുരി ശസ്യസാക്ഷിണോ നിർവൃതാത്മന കാര്യകാരണ കർത്തൃത്വേ കാരണം പ്രകൃതിം വിദു ഭോക്തൃത്വേ സുഖദുഃഖാനാം പുരുഷം പ്രകൃതേ പരം ശ്രീദേവഹൂതിരുവാച പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷസ്യാഭിലക്ഷണം പുരുഷോത്തമ ബ്രൂഹി കാരണയോരസ്യ സദസ്സേതാത്മകം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച യത്രണമവ്യക്തം നിത്യം സദസദാത്മകം പ്രധാനം പ്രകൃതിം ബ്രാഹു വിശേഷം വിശേഷവൽ പഞ്ചവി പഞ്ചവിർബ്രഹ്മം ചതുർഭ്യദശഭിസ്തത ഏതചതുർവിംശതികം ഗണം പ്രാധാന്യം വിദു മഹാഭൂതാനി പഞ്ചൈവ ഭൂരാഭോഗ്നിമരുർനഭ തന്മാത്രാണി ജതാവന്തി ഗന്ധാദീമതാനി മേ ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി ദിശശ്രോതം ത്വക്ക് ദൃക്ക് ഗ്രസനനാസിയ വാക്കരവും ചരണം മേറ്റം വായുർദശമുച്യതേ മനോബുദ്ധിരഹങ്കാരചിത്തമിത്യന്തരാത്മകം ചതുർദ്ധാലക്ഷ്യതേ വേദോ വൃത്യാലക്ഷണരൂപയ ഏകാമാനേവ സംഖ്യാതോ ബ്രഹ്മണസ്യ ഗുണസ്യ സന്നിവേശോ മയാ പ്രോക്തയ കാല പഞ്ചവിംശക പ്രഭാവം പൗരുഷം പ്രാഹു കാലമേകേ യഥോഭയം അഹങ്കാര വിമൂഢസ്യ കർത്തു പ്രകൃതിമീയൂഷ പ്രകൃതിർ ഗുണസാമ്യസ്യ നിർവിശേഷസ്യ മാനവി ചേഷ്ടാ ഇതസ്സ ഭഗവാൻ കാല ഇത്യുപലക്ഷിത അന്തപുരുഷരൂപേണ കാലരൂപേണ യോ ബഹി സമന്യത്യേഷ സത്വാനം ഭഗവാനാൽപമായ ദൈവാൽ ക്ഷുഭിതധർമ്മിണ്യം സുസ്യാം യോ നൗ പരപുമാൻ ആധത്ത വീര്യം സാസൂത മഹത്തത്വം ഹിരൺമയം വിശ്വമാത്മഗതം വ്യഞ്ജൻ കൂടസ്ഥോ ജഗത് അങ്കുരസ്തുതേജസാ പിബ തീവ്രമാത്മപ്രസ്വാപനം തമായത്തൽ സത്വൽ യത്തൽ സത്വഗുണം സ്വച്ഛം ശാന്തം ഭഗവതപദം യഥാഹുർവാസുദേവാഖ്യം ചിത്തം തത് മഹദാത്മകം സ്വച്ഛത്വം അവികാരിത്വം ശാന്തത്വം ഇതി ചേതസ വൃത്തിപരലക്ഷണം പ്രോക്തം യഥാപാം പ്രകൃതിം വരാമഹത്വാദി വർഗ്ഗാണാൽ ഭഗവദ്ധീര സംഭവാൽ ക്രിയാശക്തിരഹങ്കാരം ത്രിവിധ സമബദ്ധ്യത വൈകാരിക സ്തേജസ്ചാതാമസ്ചേതോ ഭവ മനസ്സേന്ദ്രിയാണാം ച ഭൂതാനാം മഹദാമവി സഹസ്രശിരസം സാക്ഷ്യാദമനന്തം പ്രചക്ഷ സംഘർഷണാഖ്യം പുരുഷം ഭൂതേന്ദ്രിയ മനോമയം കർത്തൃത്വം കാരണത്വം ച കാര്യത്വം ചെയ്തി ലക്ഷണം ശാന്തകോർ വിമൂഢത്വം ഇതി വാ സ്യാദഹംകൃതേ വൈകാരികാൽ ദൂർവാണാൻ മനസ്തത്വം ജായത യസങ്കൽപ്പ വികൽപ്പഭ്യം വർത്തതേ കാമസംഭവ യദ്വർഹേനരുദ്ധാഗ്യം ശ്രീകാണാമതീശ്വരം ശാരദേന്ദീവരശ്യാം സമ്രാജ്യം യോഗിവീശ്വനൈ തജസാത്തു വികുർവാണാ ബുദ്ധിതത്വഭൂൽ സതി ത്രിവ്യസ്ഫുരണ വിജ്ഞാനമിന്ദ്രിയാണാം അനുഗ്രഹം സംശയോദ വിപര്യാസോ നിശ്ചയസ്മതിരേവ ച സ്വാഭിത്യച്യുതി ബുദ്ധലക്ഷണം മൃതിതപ്രദ തജസാനിന്ദ്രിയാണേവ ക്രിയജ്ഞാന വിഭാഗ ച പ്രണസഹി ക്രിയാശക്തിർ ബുദ്ധിർ വിജ്ഞാനശക്തിത താമസാച്ച വികുർവാണാൽ ഭഗവൽ വീര്യചോദിതാൽ ശബ്ദമാത്രം ബഹു തസ്മാ നഭശ്രോത്രം ദുശബ്ദകം അർത്ഥാശ്രയത്വം ശബ്ദസ്യാദൃശോർ ലിംഗത്വമേവ ച തന്മാത്രത്വം ച നപസോ ലക്ഷണം കവയോ വിദു ഭൂതാനാം ചിത്രദാതൃത്വം ബഹിരന്തരമേവ ച പ്രാണേന്ദ്രി ആത്മദൃഷ്ടത്വം നപസോ വൃത്തിലക്ഷണം നപസ ശബ്ദന്മാത്ര കാലഗത്യാ വികുർവത സ്പർശോ അഭവത് തദോ വായുസ്വ സ്പർശ്യസ്യ ച സംഗ്രഹ മൃദുത്വം കഠിനത്വം ച ശൈത്യമുഷ്ണത്വമേവ ച ഏതൽ സ്പർശ്യസ്യ സ്പർശത്വം തന്മാത്രത്വം നപസദ ചാലനം വിഹനം രാത്രിനേത്രം ദ്രവ്യശബ്ദയോ സർവേന്ദ്രിയാണാമാത്മത്വം വായോ ക്രമാഭിലക്ഷണം വായോശ്ച സ്പർശതന്മാത്രാന് രൂപം ദേവേരിതാദഭൂൽ സമുദ്ധിതം തദസ്യ ചക്ഷു രൂപോപലംബനം ദ്രവ്യാകൃതിത്വം ഗുണനാവ്യക്തി സംസ്ഥാത്വമേവ ച തേജസ്ത്വം തേജസ സാധി രൂപമാത്രസ്യ വൃത്തയ ദ്യോതനം പജനം പാനവദനം ഹിമമർദ്ധനം തേജസോ വൃത്തയസ്തേദാശോഷണം ക്ഷുത്രടേവ ച രൂപമാത്ര അവികുർവാണ തേജസോ ദേവചോദിതാൽ രസമാത്രം ഭൂതസ്ഥാൽ ദംഭോ ജിഹ്വാരസഗ്രഹ കഷായോ മധുരസ്തിക്തം കട്ടുംളിതിനേകത ഭൗതികാനാം വികാരേണ രസമേകോ വിഭിദ്യതേ ക്ലേദനം പിണ്ഡനം തൃപ്തി പ്രാണനാപ്യായോന്ദനം താപാപനോദോ ഭൂയസ്തുമ്പസോ വൃത്തയസ്തിമാം രസമാത്രാവികുർമാണാദംബസോ ദേവചോദിതാൽ ഗന്ധമാത്രാമഹു തസ്മാൽ പൃഥ്വി ഗാണസുഗന്ധക കരം ബഹുതി സൗരഭ്യം ശാന്തോ ഗ്രാമ്ലാതിവിപൃഥക് ദ്രവ്യാവേഷം നൽകന്തമേവോ വിഭിദ്യത ഭാവനം ബ്രഹ്മണസ്ഥാനം ധാരണം സദ്വിശേഷണം സർവസത്വഗുണോദ്ഭവം പൃഥ്വീ വൃത്തിലക്ഷണം നഭോ ഗുണവിശേഷോർത്ഥം യസ്യ തന്മാത്ര തച്ഛോത്രമുച്യതേ വായുർഗുണവിശേഷോർത്ഥം യസ്യ തൽസ്പർശനം വിദു തേജോഗുണവിശേഷോർത്ഥം യസ്യ ചക്ഷുരുച്യതേ അംഭോഗുണവിശേഷോർത്ഥം യസ്യ ദ്രസനം വിഭു ഭൂമേർഗുണവിശേഷോർത്ഥോ യസ്യ സഘ്രാണമുച്യതേ പരസ്യ ദൃശ്യതേ ധർമ്മ അപരസ്മിൻ സമന്വയാൽ അതോ വിശേഷോ ഭാവാനാം ഭൂമവേവോപലക്ഷ്യതേ ഏതാന്യ സംഹത്തേതാ മഹദാദീനി സപ്തവൈ കാലക്രമഗുണോപേതു ജഗദാദി രൂപാവിശൽ തദസ്യേനാനുവിദ്ധേഭ്യോ യുക്തേഭ്യോ അണ്ടമചേതനം ഉത്ഥിതം പുരുഷോ യസ്മാദിഷ്ടദസൌ വിരാട് ഉദരിഷ്ടതസൌ വിരാൺ ഏതദണ്ഡം വിശേഷാഖ്യം ക്രമവൃദ്ധിർദേശോത്തരേ തയോ ത്വയാധിപി പരിവൃതം പ്രധാനേന അവൃതൈർബഹി യത്ര ലോകവിധാനോയം രൂപം ഭഗവതോ ഹരേ ഹിരൺമയാദണ്ഡകോശ ഉത്ഥായ സലിലേശയാൽ തമ ആവിശ്യമഹാദേവോ ബഹുധാ നിർഭിഭേദഖം നിരഭീദ്യദാസ്യ പ്രഥമം മുഖം വാണി തതോ ഭവൽ വന്യാ വന്യരതോ നാസേ പ്രാണോദോ ഘ്രാണമേതയോ ഘ്രാണാദ്വായിരഭിദ്യേതാം അക്ഷിണി ചക്ഷുരേതയോ തസ്മാൽ സൂര്യോ വിഭിദ്യേതാം കർണോ ശ്രോത്രം തതോ ദിശ നിർഭിഭേദ വിരാജസ്തു അഗ്നോമശ്വശ്വാദേസ്തദാ തദ ഔഷധയഞ്ജാസന ശിഷ്ണം നിർഭിഭിദേ തഥാ ഏതസ്തസ്മാദാമാസം നിരഭിദ്യത വൈഗുദം ഗുദാദവാനോപാനാർച്ച മൃത്യുലോകഭയങ്കര ഹസ്തൗച നിരഭിദ്യേതാം ബലം താഭ്യാം തദസ്വരാൾ പാദൗച നിരഭിദ്യേതാം ഗതിസ്ഥാഭ്യാം തദോ ഹരി നാഢ്യോസ് നിരഭിദ്യം നെതാഭ്യോ ലോഹിതമാവൃതം നഭ്യസ്തമവനു ഉദരം നിരഭിദ്യത ക്ഷുൽപിപാസേ തദസ്സാത്യ സമുദ്രസ്യതയോരഭുൽ അഥാസ്തി ഹൃദയം ഭിന്നം ഹൃദയാന്മേന ഉത്ഥിതം മനസ്സശ്ചന്ദ്രമാചാദോ ബുദ്ധിർബുദ്ധേർഗിരാം പതി അഹങ്കാരസ്തോ രുദ്രശ്ചിത്തം ചൈത്യസ്തോ ഭവൽ ഏദേഹ്യപ്യത്യോ ദൈവാ നൈവാസ്യോധ്യാപനേഷകൻ പുനരാവിഷുഖാനിതമുത്താം വൈദം ക്രമാൽ വന്യർവാചാമുഖം ബേജേ ഓതതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ഘ്രാണേനാസിയവായ ഓതതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാട് അക്ഷിണി ദൃശോദിത്യോ നോതതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ശ്രോത്രേണ കർണോ ജ്യോതിഷോ നോതതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാട് തുജം രോമവിഷോരദ്യ ഒന്നോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ തിരഥതാ ശിഷ്ണമാവസ്തുനോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ഗുധം മൃത്യുരവാനോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ഹസ്താവിന്ദ്രോബലനൈവോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ വിഷ്ണുർഗത്യവ ചരണോനോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ നാടീർ നദ്യലോഹിതേന നോദതിഷ്ഠ നോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ശുത്രുഭ്യാമുദ്രം സിന്ധുർനോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ഹൃദയം മനസോ ചന്ദ്രനോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ബുദ്ധ്യാ ബ്രഹ്മാഭിഹൃദയം നോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ രുദ്രോഭി മത്യാഹൃദയം നോദതിഷ്ഠതാ വിരാൾ ചിത്തേന ഹൃദയം ചൈത്യ ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞ പ്രവിശദ്യമാ വിരാൾ തദൈവ പുരുഷ സലിലാൽതിഷ്ഠത യഥാ പ്രസുപ്തം പുരുഷം പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയ മനോധിയം പ്രഭവന്തി വിനായേനോത്ഥാ വൈദുമോജസ തമസ്മിൻ പ്രത്യേകാത്മാനം ധിയാ യോഗ പ്രവൃത്തയാ ഭക്ത്യാ വിരക്ത്യാ ജ്ഞാന വിവിച്ചാത്മനി ചിന്തയേലി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം തൃതീയ കന്ദി കാപിലേയ സത്വസമാനായ ഷഡ്വിംശതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So here, what we can see, that discussion begins between Kapila Vasudev, Kapila Maharshi, and his mother Devahuti Devi. It's a very important part in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Kapilam. Or Kapilopadesham, it is called. Devahuti Devi lived with her son, Kapila Vasudev, for some time near that Bindusaras, the lake where they were living. And Kapila Maharshi's intention was to give that spiritual instructions to Devahuti. Jnanopadesham. Jnanopadesham means that by hearing that, she should get realized the truth. Ajnanam has to go completely from inside and she has to realize the truth. This was the intention of Kapila Vasudev. And when this intention was in Kapila Vasudev's heart, this was waiting to come, happen, and Devahuti Devi was living there waiting for to develop that strong desire to come up inside her heart. That means, because Kapila Maharshi had this intention to speak to Devahuti Devi about self-realization and knowledge of the self, very easily Devahuti developed detachment. Vairagyam had come to her at a very faster pace. And that Vairagyam is what is spoken in the first few verses in the 24th chapter. Mother's Vairagyam inside, to show to us, if there is no Vairagyam inside, no matter who speak the Shastram, it will not have any effect on the person who is hearing it. Vairagyam, that is where the effect of the Vairagyam, that qualification, when we say Adhikarityam, is this Vairagyam inside. The higher the Vairagyam, the faster the realization is. Look at see Parikshit Vairagyam in the Bhagavatam. When he decided to walk out from the palace, emperor of the planet, leaving behind everything, when he heard that in 7 days' time the body is going to go, he felt that so strongly that he didn't want anything after that, didn't want food or drink even after that. To that extent, that Vairagyam inside. That is why when Shugha Brahmarshi spoke, it went straight in to the right spot where it has gone and hit there. So Devahuti very quickly developed Vairagyam inside. Particularly because already she was feeling it, because she said to Kardama Prajapati that I lost an opportunity. Because after meeting a personality like Kardama Prajapati, thinking about sense gratification is the very unfortunate thing. Because a personality like Kardama Prajapati, he can take you back to Vaikuntham with his spiritual power. Is it not? Such a glorious personality. And instead of looking for spiritual instructions from Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti felt really bad after she spent the time with him enjoying life in the heavenly planets and all other planetary systems where they travel, material life, company material life, comfortable material life. She felt an opportunity as lost, a golden opportunity what she had while associating with Kardama Prajapati. having lost that opportunity, now after traveling through all the heavenly planets and all everything over now, household life is coming to an end, Karadhava Prajati has gone to the forest, girls have been got married, they have gone, and Devahuti Devi is now, that Vairagyam has built up inside. Appropriate time in life, when it happened in her life, she was willing to listen. She was willing to listen. And that's one thing. Simultaneously, on the other hand, you can see it was Kapila Vasudev's intention to give this, transmit this knowledge to her. So when these two things came together, it just happened. It just happened. So, normally, she had all that situation around her, everything favorable for her to develop that Vairagyam inside. It was already there in her life. Things have developed in such a way in her own personal life that she has developed that strength of Vairagyam inside already. Husband is gone, children have gone, and now she is feeling that situation in life that she is ready for something higher than all these things. She has seen all that, everything, isn't it? So, she has seen enough in her life. Material life means she had the best opulent material life with her father, Swayambhumanu. More than that, Karadhava Prajapati has shown her what he is capable of providing her. So, happiness is concerned from father's side as well as from husband's side. She had the best, both in both ways. But now, and in other words, she has experienced everything in life, what happiness means in that sense, isn't it? Manu's daughter. So, we don't have to say anything more than that. From that we can understand. And all the happiness from her husband, she had everything from Karadhava Prajapati had shown to her. So, and Karadhava Prajapati's householder life we have just discussed before, isn't it? So, everything you can imagine in material life, the peak of material happiness, she has seen with Karadhava Prajapati together. And Karadhava Prajapati, Devahuti Devi has reached that stage. And as far as the children are concerned, so you could never think of another 9 daughters like that. They were so qualified. All these 9 girls from Karadhava Prajapati's children, they were such qualified girls. And all qualifications, and what to talk about the son who is more than anybody else, isn't it? So Krishna himself has come. Everything she has experienced in life, in other words. So, from all these things, situations, Devahuti Devi understood one thing. This is all what material life is worth. This is all you can get from this life. The best, what she has got. She has seen the limit of material happiness, in other words. She has come to that understanding. You know, when somebody has seen everything, then that person won't be hankering after something. Only when you haven't had it, then you start thinking about it, isn't it? But there is no such thing. Karadhava Prajapati and Devahuti Devi had such a life that Devahuti never felt any more wanting anything in life. So when she understood that, and Krishna has decided, or Kapila Vasudeva has decided like that, that mother should have Vairagyam now. And that Vairagyam, it is not at all surprising what has happened to Devahuti Devi. One day, Devahuti Devi, knowing very well that it is the Supreme Lord sitting there in the form of Kapila Vasudev, goes up to him. You can see what she says to him. 6th verse, if you look there, in the 25th chapter.
Tamasinam karmanam tattva marga gradarshanam susudam devahutyaha dadu samsmaradi vacha. Tamasinam karmanam tattva marga gradarshanam susudam devahutyaha dadu samsmaradi vacha.
Kapila Vasudev is sitting there, tattva marga gradarshanam, to teach the tattvam, this philosophy or sankhyam. And so Sutam Devahutyaha, her son, Dadu Samsaradi Vaja, Devahuti comes there, pays her obeisances to
to Kapilavasudev. Not only that, Dadu Samsmarati Vacha. Brahma was also spoken about this before. And Brahma has, Devahuti has thought about this, what Brahma has spoken before, and comes to her son, to Kapilavasudev, and smilingly spoke to Kapilavasudev. In a smilingly, she spoke to him. But at the same time, after Karna Prajapati has gone, there is a certain degree of unhappiness in the face. So the distress is there because Karna Prajapati is gone. So the unhappiness is there on her face, but still smilingly says, Dhadu Sasmaradi Vacha. Smilingly she spoke to Kapila Vasudev. And those verses are famous from Devahuti, what you will see there. Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman. Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyama Anina Prapannantham Samaprabho. Mother's words to the son. Mother is saying to the son. Many Bhagavatam commentators say, you will never see a mother like this in this world. Nurvinna Nidaram Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyama Anina Prapannantham Samaprabho. She's saying, they say that no mother has spoken like this in the history. No mother will speak like this in the future. Neither in the past nor in the future. To that extent, that verse is given importance. Narvinna nitaram bhuman asad indriya darshanal yena sambhavyamanena prapannantham tama prabho. That is the point. Devahuti Devi is saying to Kapilavasudev, my dear son, I have no attachment here anymore in this world. A mother is saying that I have had enough of this material life, this life in this world, and I'm completely finished with it. If you ask that question, why this detachment has come to such a degree, the mother is saying, when does detachment comes to a person? It comes that if you understand the nature of the happiness of the objects here, what you get from that, then detachment will come. Only thing is, we don't understand the nature of the objects which gives you happiness here in this world. We are running after objects to get us happiness in some thing or the other, isn't it? Because Devahuti Devi is saying here that if you understand the nature of these objects which is giving you happiness in this world, then detachment will come. Only thing is, you have not understood that. That's her conclusion on that. Actually, she says, Asad Indriya Darshanal, that what you are thinking, happiness, happiness, happiness in this world, and planning, thinking about it. Actually, there is no happiness in that. Because ultimately, everything in this world will bring distress. Nothing will let you go, freely escape from that. And if you have understood, in experience in this world, that thing, then it will create that detachment inside. It will create that detachment inside. You can see in her life, Karna Prajapati was there, the husband. Karna Prajapati has gone, distress has come. Children were there, they have gone, distress has come. So, and the body is also going away. From everywhere she is thinking very deeply. And she is able to see it very clearly in her head. That this is called a Chittashuddhi. When Chittashuddhi comes, we will start seeing things properly. Now we don't see things properly. We see things what suits us now. What's temporary, if it gives me some happiness, I'll accept it. Thinking that, oh, it's not bad. That's why we say, how are you? You're not too bad, we say, isn't it? Because of that only. Actually, you could never say that. The Yahudi Devi statement is, that if you really understand that everything in this world, what you achieve or acquire, ultimately they'll give you pain and they'll go. They'll give you pain and go. Kardam Prajapati had come in her life. Swayambhumanyu and Shadrupa Devi came, they left. Similarly, Kardam Prajapati came, he left. The daughters came in her life, they also gone. So finally she is left alone. So she is thinking, that if this is all life worth about, and all the happiness what she had with her husband, with the parents, everything, that's all in memory now. It has no meaning anymore to it than that. As far as she is concerned, she has started looking inwards. Very seriously, her attention has gone inwards. That is what it is indicating. Only then this vairagyam will come. Nirvenna nitaram bhuman asad indriya darshanal yena sambhavyamanena prabannantham tama prabho. It is only that tamogunam inside me was convincing me that there is happiness here, happiness there, happiness there. That tamogunam is telling me that. Because that tamogunam has gone from inside, vairagyam had come, and therefore she is able to openly say this to her own son, to Kapilavasudeva. She says to him that with every single sense, how much happiness did I have? She is saying that to him. That as much happiness I got from each of those senses, in fact, in the reality she is saying, double that happiness I'm getting distressed now from each of those senses. The five senses with which we are acquiring the happiness in this world. She's saying, whatever I got through those senses, happiness, look at the clarity in her thoughts. She's able to say this so explicitly because she's saying that more than that, now I'm experiencing the distress from that. So what life is worth? In other words, to be able to say that, she has more or less come to a stage of a rishi, that she is able to say this. So, and I have understood, she says there, that because I have experienced all these senses and sense enjoyment, and it is only because of that I experience this distress or hell, afterwards the hell. Because, so therefore, she says to Kapila Maharshi, that you have to tell me what I have to do so that I won't go into hell. I won't go into hell. So, and release me from this material existence, samsaram or material existence. And this is what Devahuti asked Kapila Vasudeva. Can you see? Tamatasya. She keeps on repeating the word tamasa. 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 Tamasa means that tamogunam inside. When the tamogunam is very strong inside, you will feel like enjoying here, trying to extract happiness from every little thing in this world. That's a symptom of that tamogunam. When tamogunam goes away from inside, the clarity and that understanding will come inside that there is no happiness here, not to look for happiness, all that things will go away from inside. She says there, Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asad indriya darshanal yena sambhavyamanena prapannandham tama prabho. Tasyatvam tamaso andhasya dushparyasyadhyaca paryagam sachakshur janmanamandi labdhamme tadanagrahal. By your grace alone, that tamasya, what was inside me, the tamogunam, dushparyasyadhya paryagam, which is very difficult to take away from there, sachakshur janmanamandi, that you have given me that vision to look through this properly and able to come up with this understanding. So, when Devahuti said this, Kapila Vasudeva smiled, hearing Devahuti's realization. No mother has spoken like this throughout the history. And no mother will ever speak like this, with such a realization inside, and an honest way to say this to the son, isn't it? So instructions from Kapila Vasudeva begins from here. In the next you can see, Sri Bhagavan Vaja from 13th onwards. But Kapila Vasudev, recognizing that it is his mother, who Devahuti Devi, it is in that way it is spoken. She says here that first thing Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, that for a jiva, for a living entity, rishis have found out various processes to escape from distress. For a jiva, to escape from the distress, rishis have found out various processes. That's what he's saying. Yogam adhyalpiya pumsam mato nishrayasayame atyando ubaradi yatra dukkhasya sukhasya cha. The first word from Kapila Vasudeva. They are important verses. When Devahuti says, Nirvinna nidarambuman asad indriya darshanal yena sambhavyamayana pravannandam tama prabho, that I am in trouble. I don't know how to come out of this. I am in such a distressed state. And that Vairagyam is forcing Devahuti to speak so strongly to Kapila Vasudev. And Kapila Vasudev, seeing her predicament, seeing her distress, feeling compassion for that, being the mother, he says to her that Yogam Adhyalpiya Pumsam, very serious discussion it is between Kapila and Devahuti. Yogam Adhyalpiya Pumsam, Mato Nishraya Sayame, Atyando Ubayadir Yatra, Dukkasya Sukhasya Cha, Dukkasya Cha, Sukhasya Cha. That Kapila Vasudev, after smiling, says to him that there are various processes which the rishis have developed for the sake of the people who wants to free themselves from the miseries of material existence, and that is called yogam. That's called yogam. And and this yoga processes are nothing but how to escape from material world. How to escape from the material world. And first thing to understand is that, he says, that all this happiness and distress and going to hell and suffering there or enjoying happiness in the heavenly planets, all these things is centered around one object, and that's the mind. That's the first thing to understand in spiritual life. That what we experience here is distress or worrying about going to hellish planets and suffering there, or if you're feeling happiness here in material life, or if you're thinking of enjoying happiness in the spiritual, in the heavenly planets, all these things, combinedly, he says, all centered around only one thing called the mind. That's the first thing. Our friend and the enemy, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? So, that is why he's saying there, you'll see there in the 15th verse, Cheda kalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya ratham va pumsi muktaye. That's that verse. Cheda kalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya ratham va pumsi muktaye. So, when you're feeling happy, where is that happiness? It's in the mind, isn't it? And similarly, when you feel distressed also, or you're feeling you are in the hell, suffering, where is it happening? It's in the mind. It's in the mind. So, therefore he's saying here, Cheda khalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano bandham gunesha saktam bandhaya pudimva radimva pumsi muktaye. When mind is in contact with the sense objects, the same thing in the 13th chapter in the Ekadasham also, when the four Kumaras asked a question, there also Hamsagita is all clarification of the same thing, what Kapila Maharshi has spoken here. So, when the mind is in contact with the sense objects, and if it is made a contact, and if it is in bondage with the sense objects, then it is hell. Then it is hell. If the mind is in contact with Krishna, and if it is mind is in contact with the devotees, in that way, if you are able to keep the mind in that situation, then it is happiness. Then it is happiness. Therefore, first thing to do is to keep the mind in the proper state. And for that, the important thing is samsargam, salsangam or samsargam. So, all the time associating with people whose consciousness is always attached to Krishna and or in Krishna consciousness. And that is what he is saying here. Salsanga dvara. That is what he is saying. You will see there in the next, in the 25th verse. That's how he begins. That sadam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavandihil karna rasayanah kathaha tajoshanadashu abhavargavarpani shraddharyatir bhaktir anukrameshari. How that process works, he is explaining there. Sadam prasangan means, what is the symptom of those devotees? That they have nothing else to talk in this world except about Krishna. That's the only topic they have to discuss, about Krishna. So, so those devotees, he says, they won't have much to say about the material world or the material life in this world. And if you spend time with them, then through that salsangam, you will get back to Krishna. You will get back to Krishna, and that will create that, and they will open the door for liberation for that jiva. That's what she is saying there. Kapila Maharshi is saying there, Sadam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavandi hrit karna rasayanaha kathaha tajoshanadashu abhavarga varpani shraddha redi bhakti anukramishyati. One will follow the other. First shraddha, then radhi, and finally bhakti. Finally bhakti. So to hear about Krishna, to hear Bhagavatam, and to hear Bhagavad Gita and the Shastram, various Shastram, what the great personalities have given, and a serious desire inside to please Krishna. Serious desire inside to please Krishna. Similarly, attach to the holy name, to chant the holy name, and all these things, how will these desires build up inside? That's what he is explaining. Kapila Maharshi is saying there, not by practicing it won't happen. By association it will happen. It is through association that you get interested in the Bhagavatam. It's through association you get interested in hearing about Krishna consciousness. It's through association that will happen. Not by your own effort, it won't happen. That's what he is saying there. Sadam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavandi hrit karna rasayana kadaha tajoshanadashu abavarga varpani shraddha radhi bhakti, one after the other anukramishyati, will happen. So it is this connection or relationship with the relationship with sajjanam or satsangam or devotees, that initially that attachment has come to devotees, it has to start like that. To happen with those who are serious in spiritual life. It's their association. That's what makes it happen. Then, if that relationship is built up strongly, then the attachment for the opposite ones, who are not interested in spiritual life, that will naturally go away from inside. Ado sangamja sadhushu, says Krishna. Ekadasha skandam, in Uddhava, Krishna says the same thing. Adau sangamja sadhushu. First connection with the sadhus. Has to connection with the sadhus. Because sangam or connection or bandham, bondage, is the cause of distress. But if that attachment and bondage is towards devotees or sangam or in sajjanam, we have to keep it there first. We have to keep it there. But once you have gone high in spiritual life, after that it's not necessary. Because then there is no devotee and demon. All those things go away. In the early days, when you do not have that strength inside, you have to differentiate. Always to keep association with the devotees and in the satsangam, sadhu. That way you have to live in this world. But after you have gone up a little bit in spiritual life, then you will start realizing inside, actually there is no devotee or a demon. They are all Krishna's manifestations in different forms. On a bodily level, when you look at them, you say it's a devotee demon, isn't it? So, once you start realizing that everywhere Krishna is present in that body, at that point, this sajjanam, durjanam, salsangam, dusangam, all these things have no meaning anymore. But in the beginning, it will be there. But if you have gone up a lot, then afterwards you can leave that behind. It will naturally go away from inside. So, at that stage, everybody becomes a devotee then. Because then you are not seeing anymore a person through the body, isn't it? So, any sinful person also, at that time, he will become a devotee in that person's eyes, provided he has gone up in the spiritual life. So, there were personalities like that. Many, many great souls, they were like that. Then, once it so happened, one great Mahatma, one sannyasi in Rishikesh, that he had Shivananda Saraswati's time, this happened, that he had some other sannyasis with him. And naturally you will see they take control, the younger ones. They take control of the place. And they start making their own rules and regulations. Who should come and see the Mahatma, who should not see him. All kinds of rules and regulations, they bring it in, isn't it? So they were hesitant, the close assistant or assist who was helping Shivananda Saraswati, he was always very hesitant to send everybody to Shivananda Saraswati in the beginning. One day somebody came and he thought that how can I send him to my Guru Maharaj, who is so highly elevated person, and this person looked in a very very sinful nature. And in his mind, he thought he is not qualified to go and meet him. So, but Shivananda Saraswati was concerned, for him, there is no good person and a bad person. In his eyes, they are all Krishna's manifestations. That's how he saw that. So, initially this problem will be there. Therefore, in the beginning we require this association. But later on, and we ought to be careful not to associate with those who are against spiritual life. In the beginning it is like that. And once this sarjana samsargam or association with devotees have gone a little bit higher, and means we also started experiencing that within us. Mama guna gunalila karnane kirtanadher. Then hearing about Krishna, discussing about Krishna, and reflecting on Krishna, and living in the association of the devotees all the time. In this way, if you pass some time, you will prakhya chitta anuvritti, you will get free from this. Chitta vritti will come down. Chitta vritti will come down. So naturally then, what will happen is, the mind in all time will somehow or the other will flow towards Krishna. It may go through different channels. For example, when you want to read something, about related to Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, self-realization, or getting more and more absorbed in the spiritual side of life rather than the material side of life. And also you start realizing that this is a serious thing, spiritual life. That seriousness will come. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? So this association develops seriousness in a person, and chanting the holy name, all these things, one way or the other, all our activities will somehow turn into a spiritual way or spiritual life. In other words, they give this example that a lady who was pregnant, 9 months she was pregnant. But all through her pregnancy, she used to walk and do various things, household work she was doing, and taking food, sleeping, everything she was doing. But while doing all that, naturally, she's always conscious that there is baby inside the stomach, isn't it? In the belly. Or that presence of the baby inside, the mother is always conscious while eating, while sleeping, while doing physical activities, all the time, she will be so cautious not to hurt the baby inside. So you don't have to even tell her to be conscious of that. Without anybody telling her, she is aware of that, the presence of the baby inside. And whatever she does, that will be the first priority. While sleeping, while lying down, eating food, she'll be careful not to eat such food that will disturb the baby. So while eating, and similarly while lying down to rest, she'll make sure that the baby is not hurt. So similarly, by simply hearing about Krishna, Shravanam, and when that Shravanam becomes very serious, by chanting the holy name, and once that bhakti has built up inside, this consciousness will always be like that. That person's consciousness will be always like that, serious about spiritual life. Somehow or the other, that seriousness comes to that person. And that seriousness is like this, like the pregnant lady is always conscious of the baby inside. That way, that person will become consciousness. So, because Krishna is present inside, in that living entity also, isn't it? So, when one becomes in that level, Krishna conscious, then even while sleeping, even while working, even while engaging in other activities, all this time you will never forget Krishna. You will always be conscious that Krishna consciousness is above everything else. And that stage is Prema Bhakti. That stage when one comes to, isn't it? So, in other words, continuously in the mind, Krishna is flowing in one way or the other. Krishna does not mean only chanting. Krishna means everything, isn't it? Deity worship, Bhagavadam. And then continuously absorbing in thinking about this Atma. Even if you are engaged to some degree about the wonder and the mystery of this Atma called the soul, even that is thinking about Krishna. If you are when you read the books like Viveka Chudamani or Panchadashi or there are so many books, when you keep reading them and how much thoughts it's generating inside without allowing any chitavritti to come from outside. That is how all the Mahatmas lived in this world. That they spent their time absorbed in these thoughts and that kept them going in this state. And sometimes you will see they will out of there, you can see the 35th verse in the 35. Pashyanti te me rujiranyambasandaha prasanna vaktrarunalochanani rupani divyani varapradani sakam vacham sprahaniyam vadandi. The state of mind of a person who is like that, how will they be? That's what he's saying here. Pashyanti te me rujiranyambasanta prasanna vaktraruna lochanani rupani divyani varapradani sakam vacham sprahaniyam vadandi. Sprahaniyam vadandi. So Kapila Vasudev says to the mother that slowly in this way absorbing the mind in Krishna. When we talk about Krishna, you have to remember it's not just that form in the temple. What Krishna has taught us, that is a big subject. If it really gets in, it can keep you the whole life busy. What Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasham and in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Kapila Vasudev says here that when you keep on absorbed in this topic of Krishna, naturally Krishna's form also will start, you will start thinking about this person Krishna, who he is, isn't it? And it develops later on talking to him. And sometimes in that process you will start laughing. The kind of realization that comes from that. Sometimes crying. And this you can see in many, many great devotees' life who have gone that far in that way. And our job is not to confirm that they are all correct. That's not what we are after. What it is that continuously absorb in the same way what they have done. Generally, people, what they do is, if you talk about great personalities, great devotees, we want to verify that. Is that all true or not? That you can never verify, because that's their experience. How will you verify that? We'll go to Google it all and check it out. If it's all true, is that what he said is all true about him? That's not good. That's not help also. Because that's their experience. How can you verify this through Google? How can Google help you there? So there's no point Googling it. It won't help. So that is why he says here that instead of verifying it through other sources, whether it's all, often you will see, as soon as something is spoken, devotees sometimes often ask, where does it say? In which book does it say? They will ask that. They want confirmation. So it's printed in the book means it's truth for them. So that's not the way in spiritual life. That you have to accept it, that it is their realizations. Somebody at that time, for example, Tukaram, Namadev, in their abhangs, if you read, whatever they have, they may not have spoken everything, but those people who lived at that time, when Tukaram was here, or Namadev was here, or Janeshwar was here, they have written down, this is how they lived in this world. You have only one choice to accept it, without making doubts, or Ekanath Swami, anybody, all those great personalities who have lived like that. They have spoken their realizations and they have gone from this world. If we take it upon us And what we have to do is to look for that experience to happen to us, what they had gone through. Not verify whether it has really happened or not. That is useless. That's waste of time. So that bhakti that comes from hearing about these great personalities, these devotees, and there is nothing higher than that, says here, that that even death is under his control, under such a devotee. Even death does not bother him, because in this way, Kamala Vasudeva is showing to us that that parabhakti even is in a very, very higher level. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that, isn't it? Brahma Buddha Prasannalpa na shochati na kamshati sama sarveshu bhudeshu. It is after that madbhaktim labhade param, that parabhakti. It is that parabhakti that Kapila Vasudeva is talking here, not the sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is not discussed in the Bhagavadam. You don't need Bhagavadam to discuss sadhana bhakti. It is the parabhakti that is spoken. That's the most important thing. So then in the first chapter here, in the Krishna has spoken about the a summary of the Sanghyam, Sanghya Yogam. And that is also necessary, because to get involved in spiritual life seriously, it is good to know Sanghyam. It is good to know Sanghyam. Because first thing is, by studying Sanghyam, you will know that you are in trouble. That's the first thing we have to know, that we are in trouble, isn't it? And that is why Sanghyam was spoken. Because if you understand Sanghyam, then you will know that we are in a seriously difficult situation with the way we are today. Combination of these material elements, mind, body, intelligence, 24 tattvam, it is spoken there, isn't it? Prakriti, what material nature means, what maya means, what five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, five tanmatras, five pranas, total 20, then mind, intelligence, false ego. All these things come together, and in the middle of that, the jiva is sitting there, struggling there with it. And that is what the whole chapter is all about. So Sankhyam will help us to understand that you are in serious trouble. We are all in serious trouble. To convince us, that is why Sankhyam was spoken there. So, because only if I know I am in trouble, I will try to escape. Otherwise, how will I escape? I will still think it's okay, what's wrong? I'll accept it like that, isn't it? So first thing is, he begins there that we are not this body. That's where it is begin. That in reality we are nothing to do with this body. Somehow or the other, this misunderstanding had come to me that I am this body. I am this body. So because that this misunderstanding is so deeply in me, therefore all other distresses is affecting me in this world. Every other distress, what comes to me, it is affecting me because of my identification with the body. So, first thing is to more me to know inside that I am not this body. I am not this body. Actually, am I this body? Because if you analyze this properly, you will know that I am not this body. Kapila Vasudeva says here that in that body, he is analyzing, scrutinizing that body and explaining there. There is this five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And their tanmatras are present there. Which one? Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Tanmatras means the subtle form of these five material elements. Just like you can see from the sound, came the shabdam, sparsham, sound, touch, rupam, form, rasam, taste, gandham, smell. Gandham is the subtle form of the earth, isn't it? Earth is a gross manifestation of the tanmatra of gan. Tanmatra means subtle element, which is called smell. Smell's gross form is the earth. Taste's gross form is the water. Similarly, form and air and the sound. The sky is the gross form. Subtle form of it is the sound. Sound is the subtle form, and the gross form is the sky. So, these subtle form and the gross form, tanmatras and the gross forms, they are all present in this body. In the middle of that, added to all these things, we have got the mind, intelligence and the false ego. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram and the chittam. and the process in which they all came together. Until Vasudeva entered into Chittam, it did not get activated. That's what he's explaining in that chapter. So, so it is with these things that everything in this creation is built. Everything is built up in this creation with these things only. 5 material elements and their tanmatras. For example, I am seeing with the eyes. Who is seeing? I am seeing with the eyes. But who is seeing actually? Because we have inside these 4 things. Mind, intelligence, false ego and that what is called the chittam. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. These 4 things inside is actually seeing. For example, that actually eye is the hole through which we are seeing an object, isn't it? I am walking, the legs are walking, legs are moving. And we are eating food. Who is eating? The tongue is the one which is engaged in that activity. The tongue is the one that is engaged in the activity of eating. Like eye is the one engaged in the activity of seeing and ears are in the activities of hearing, similarly. And while eating, who is actually the person who is experiencing it? Rasanendriyam, isn't it? The sense of taste. Sense of taste. Not the jiva, not the living force inside. What is a jivan doing there? Living force doing inside. Living force inside, Krishna inside, what it does is, it gives the power to the senses to do that. If Krishna was not present inside, none of these senses can function on its own. We know that, is it not? Otherwise, if a person is dead lying there, if you bring some sweet rice and push it through his mouth, he wouldn't relish it. There is no taste for it. Why? Krishna has gone from inside. Krishna has gone from inside. So, that is why, if you remember that verse, a lot of verses mentions there. In a very small way, we'll mention that for a short time. That he's saying that you can see that in the 26th chapter that he goes on saying about this combination of this is the Sankhyam, this 26th Tattva Samayam Nayam it's called Tattva Samayam Nayam, 26th chapter. At the end of that you see there Achuni verses from it begins with verses say for example if you look at from verses from 63. Vanyarvacha mukham beje nodadishta tada virad ghranena nasiya vayur nodadishta tada virad achini chakshusha adityo nodadishta tada virad shrotrena karnauja disho nodadishta tada virad. It goes on saying like this. And finally, if you look at the verse 70, see what it says. Chittena hridayam chaitya kshetratnya pravishadhyada virad tadaiva purusha salilal udatishtada. That is it. Chittena hridayam chaitya. When Krishna entered inside a Sandariyami, at that time, kshetratnya, pravishadhyada, he entered inside, virad tadaiva purusha salilal udatishtada. At that time, the body got the complete strength to do everything what it wanted. Up to that time, the eyes were there, the nose was there, the ears were there, the tongue was there, everything was there. But it was able to start working only when Chittene Hridayam Chaitya Kshetratya Pravishadhyada. Only when Krishna entered inside. Once Krishna leaves the body same way, it's all gone, finished with that. So only due to the presence of Krishna inside, that senses are functioning. That is the point. That's what he's trying to make out here. So Jiva is also Krishna's amsham, isn't it? Part and parcel. Mamayvamsho Jiva Loge. Krishna is present in the form of Jiva there. So Jiva's duty is only to give this strength to the senses. to do what it wants to do. And that presence of Krishna is inside the chittam. Therefore, he is called Vasudeva. If you remember, Sangarshanam, Vasudeva, Sangarshanam, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. The four different Chaturvyuham, it is called. Vasudevam for chitta, Sangarshanam for ahankaram, Pradyumna for buddhi, and Aniruddha for mind. Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the mind. Pradyumna, predominating deity of the buddhi, intelligence. And Sangarshanamurti, Balaram, is the predominating deity of the ahankaram. And Vasudeva, Krishna, is the predominating deity of chitta. When these four personalities in their subtle form is present in us, therefore, this subtle body exists inside. Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Chaturvyuham, as they are called. So, only when Krishna enters inside as Vasudeva, it gives the power to all to operate. Just like you can see, like the electricity. When the electricity is there, the lamp burns, isn't it? Once electricity goes away, lamp is gone. So, we get, say for example, the fan is rotating, the wind is coming, only because the electricity is there. So, similarly, Atma, or the soul, or Krishna, is that current that operates everything. And, so, this Atma, where does it enter? It enters in such a way, it reflects in this four. These four things are called Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means that subtle body inside. Subtle body. In that Andhakaranam, that because it is reflecting, that is how it is said in the Shastram, they will use the word reflection. Reflection means he doesn't enter into it. His presence is sufficient. If Atma, Krishna is present inside, he will naturally reflect into these four. It's a reflection it is. Into this, which one? Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. If he is reflecting in the four, those four things will function. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam, they will function. So, similarly, Krishna's reflection is present there and is reflecting there. And that is the reason why senses are able to enjoy the sense objects. Eyes are able to see. Nose is able to smell. Ears are able to hear. Tongue is able to taste. Nose is able to smell. All it's happening because of this reflection of Krishna inside into these four faculties. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. So, in other words, one thing is that Krishna is not doing anything. He's just present there. Presence is sufficient. Presence is sufficient. So, but by his very presence alone, everything else happens. Just like current is present, and it's present, the light burns or fan rotates, isn't it? Similarly, Atma is because of this only, Atma is addressed as Jnana Surubam. Atma means, so we are trying to understand the way Atma operates, isn't it? Atma's nature is like this, because it is by his very presence things gets done. Without any another involvement, anything. Because its presence is sufficient, what it means is that because of the presence of knowledge in the Atma, it is the power of that knowledge that makes all these things happen. Atma's power, that is Atma's power. Therefore, it is called Jnana Swarupam. In other words, none of these things, what's happening in these four faculties, mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam, affect him. You see? If anything is happening in your mind, it's not happening to Atma. If anything is happening in your intelligence, it's not anything happening to Atma. Only thing is, he is completely independent. At the same time, by his very presence, everything happens. That is the relationship between these four faculties and the Atma. Kapila Maharshi, Sankhya is teaching us that. That's why Sankhya has a big role in Vedantam. Vedantam is very much dependent on Sankhya. Kapila Maharshi, Sankhya is completely involved in the Vedantam to a large extent. There's only very little difference between the Vedantam and Sankhya, which we have discussed in the Ekadasham earlier. So, Devahuti was struggling. after hearing all these things, you can understand that. Then she's saying that I am seeing, I am hearing, I have come, I am enjoying, I am not enjoying, I am struggling, I am in distress. These all things has happened now. To me, in real life, that's what's happening. Is it not? This is all fine. Whatever we have spoken is okay. But Devahuti is saying that that is not solve my problem. At this moment, I'm having all this problem. I'm suffering. I'm enjoying. I'm hearing. I'm touching. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So, this situation has developed in me. And because of that, I have also, because of all these things happening, I am also having a difficulty that I am this body. Dehoham. I am this body. I am this body. How did this come to me? She's asking that question. That whatever you have spoken is fine, he says. But what is in reality now? What's happening to me? Dehoham. I am seeing that I am this body. I am not able to come out of this body. And all this happiness and distress what I am experiencing here, one after the other, I am feeling it all the time. Sometimes I am feeling happy, sometimes I am feeling unhappy, distress. But Kapila Vasudeva says to her, clearly, you are not experiencing anything. In reality, nothing is experiencing. It's all happening in the mind. That's why that first verse, Chedakkalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpmano matam guneshu saktam bandhaya ridhimva pumsi muktaye. That first verse is to explain this to Devahuti. That you are thinking, you are enjoying, you are suffering. Kapila Vasudeva says to mother, you are not enjoying, you are not suffering. All these things are happening only because of this one entity called the mind inside. Mind inside. Actually, these four things doesn't exist. What exists is the force that comes from the Chit Shakti. But due to functional reasons, they have divided them into four. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and Chittam. The four divisions is for functional purposes, to explain it, what things happening there. That's why it is spoken like that. Otherwise, if you start operating the body and look where the mind, where the intelligence, where you won't find it there. It's not the same intelligence what they call as the brain. It's nothing to do with that. Brain is a something completely material thing. This intelligence, what is spoken in the Shastram, we have to know that. This intelligence is that intelligence which develops in a person due to a high level of purity inside. Due to the absence of vasanas. Due to the absence of the lower modes of nature, a purification happens in a person, and that person's intelligence is highly clear and a higher vision, higher understanding. It is that intelligence what's spoken here, not the material intelligence that you can solve some computer problems or material equations or whatever. That's not what is spoken here. So don't mix up with that, because there's only one word, intelligence in English. This buddhi, we have to take it equivalent as close as possible to that. Therefore, in this way it has been spoken. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha gavagdi nirvabanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadanam sarvatma savanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Nanamagari Bahuda Sarva Shakti Tatrapidani Midas Maranena Kalam Nidadrushita Vakrupa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrashamiha Janina Nuraga Tranarabi Shuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadisha Kamahi Mama Janmani Janmani Shari Bhavadad Bhakti Rahai Dugitvai Ayi Nandadanyu Jakingaram Patitamam Shame Bhavambudo Kavayatava Pada Panga Jastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Jagadarubhaya Pulakayam Jidam Vadavadu
bhavishyati
itam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda nahe name ashrishava ram vinashtomam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yatha tadava vidadha tulam mal prananatha suna evana param. So Kapila Maharshi, Kapila Vasudev, is continuing his instructions to his mother, Devahuti Devi. What we have seen, that this actually, there is no jiva, is not, in reality, Alma has no experience of the happiness or distress of this world, what we have mentioned before. But due to this situation what we are in, what is that situation? I am this body. That is what our problem is. I am this body and I am trying to come out of, finding it difficult to come out of that understanding, isn't it? So, because dehoham means I am this body. Because that aham, I am, like aham brahmasmi, we say. Here what we say is deham, aham, dehoham. So, aham deham. Because of that, happiness, sukham, dukham. And similarly, all the other problems that I'm hearing, and five senses are bringing feedback, and I'm suffering or feeling happy from that. So, this sukha-dukham is, I'm feeling that I'm experiencing it. But in reality, Krishna is saying to us, you are not experiencing it. And that is where the difficulty, and the reason for that is, Krishna is saying here, that the Sankhyam, what it does is, that you are, or we are, all of us are, is actually a combination of material nature or Prakriti and Purusha, Krishna. It's a combination of Krishna and Prakriti together. That is what Sankhyam is teaching us. Sankhyam is teaching us that all of us are a combination of spirit and matter. Or in other words, combination of Krishna and material nature, Prakriti. So, therefore, if we understand in this package what belongs to Prakriti and what belongs to Krishna, if we understand that, separated them properly, and in that case, automatically, a desire will come in us to go towards Krishna rather than going towards Prakriti. This is what Sankhyam does to us. Sankhyam teaches us how to separate this combination of Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha is Krishna, Prakriti is material nature, Prakriti. When they combine together, it so happens to all of us that we identify with the body due to this combination, two things coming together. And Sankhyam is teaching us, if you learn how to separate them out between Prakriti and Purusha, in a natural way, inside, we will tend to go towards Purusha rather than with Prakriti. That is what Sankhyam does. So, why we will go back to Krishna? That question will come at that time, isn't it? That a person said, that I have enough of money, I have enough wealth in this world, I have good health, and I have a good family as well, why should I go after spirit soul? Why should I go in that direction, isn't it? Because we are trapped in this, and even you don't know that we are trapped in this situation. Which one? This dehoham, he said here, isn't it? That Kapila Vasudeva says here that if you have not separated them between Prakriti and Purusha, dehoham, these disturbances will always come. You will never be able to come out of it. Even if you have plenty of money, even if you have enough wealth, even if you have a healthy, happy family life, in spite of all that, as long as you are in identification with the body, you will have problems. You may have everything in the material world, but the very fact that you have identification with the body you are meant to suffer. There is no question of escaping from that. That's what Kapila Vasudeva is insisting to Devahuti Devi. He is saying to her, you may have everything in material life, whatever you are considered to be important in material life, like a good health, plenty of money, and a happy family, everything. Everything may be there. But the fact that you are identifying with the body, dehoham, that enough, that is sufficient to suffer in this world. So, and because of that, the problem is that because you are identifying with the body, even when distress is coming, you are feeling it is happy. Happy thing. It's a happiness, isn't it? And that is the greatest danger. When distress is coming, you are not able to accept it as distress. Inside, you are thinking, it's okay. It is okay. Actually, everything, even what you consider as sukham in this world, is also dukkham, isn't it? Say, if you are taking some hot milk, every time you put a spoon of sugar into that, you are frightened inside. Doctors are saying, don't take sugar. People are saying that sugar causes this problem, that problem. But suppose if I don't take sugar, that is also not guarantee that I won't get sick. So where is the right thing in this? That in spite of all your arrangements in this world, because I am identifying with the body, I have to accept that misery that comes along with that. It's a package given to us with the birth. You buy one, get one free. It's that free thing, that distress. Buy one, the body. You get the body with that distress. I must follow that. That is the rule. There's nothing you can do about it. So, the only thing is, we are trying to make that distress as happiness, some way or the other. There's a story that a person got Mahodaram. Mahodaram is a disease where you feel bloated in the stomach, as to filled with water. Filled with water. So, he had a desire to become very wealthy. So, he did many things to make money in different ways in this world. But it did not work out for him. He didn't make enough money. At that time, this Mahodaram disease came to him. So, somebody told him that before you become wealthy, you become very opulent in your stomach as well. And it's an indication of that. They suggested to him like that. So he was thinking like that, probably there's no illness, no disease in me. Maybe I'm going to become wealthy, I'm becoming happier. That's why all these changes are happening in my body. So he goes to the doctor and doctor says to him that by looking at you, you seem to have some problem with your health. And he analyzed it and he said, Mahodaram vyatim upagadam swam. Leshmi Vishadohadra Ichamandanam. That looking at your stomach, I can say that you have this disease called Mahodaram in you. And are you taking any medicine for that? But he could not get convinced. Because when Mahodaram comes, you won't know it. You feel the stomach is full and actually water is building up inside. So, but the doctor insisted you should take the medicine if you want to cure from this disease. But he was thinking that this is only, he is completely confused about that, thinking that this Mahodaram is only a beginning of this, of his happy material life which is going to start later. So he couldn't see distress in that. Similarly, that we have to know first that there is distress here. And that is the most difficult thing. To accept that there is distress in this life. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us that we have to learn first how to move away from this distress. And wherever you think that there is happiness, there is no happiness in that. That realization has to come first inside us. Whenever we feel that there is happiness in something here, to know in a deeper level that there is no happiness there, that requires a good analysis inside. One has to analyze it and be very firm on that. So, and that understanding will come from Bhagavatam and from the devotees. And it is that is where Sangha Yogam helps. Sangha Yogam encourages a person to think in that direction and practice it to the extent possible. Particularly, when you have come to understand that you are not the body, instead, pure spiritual spark, and that analysis, if it has hit inside strongly, then the desire to serve Krishna and to go in the spiritual path will also get stronger. This is the benefit of Sankhya Yoga. And that is what these two chapters have spoken now. 24th, 25th and 26th. In essence, in summary, that's all it is. On those two chapters, that's all the summary is. To tell us that this combination of Prakriti and Purusha coming together created this false identification in us that we are this body. And to come out of that, and due to that false identification, we will suffer no matter who it is. Because of the identification, you will suffer. The self on its own has no misery. Atma is never touched by any happiness or distress. It's completely independent. But when they come together, like in the material body, this problem will bound to happen. That means you will identify with the body, and due to that identification, misery will come. And that's what we are experiencing in this whole life. So freedom from that is possible, Kamala Maharshi says, if you understand the Sankhya philosophy, that these two things have come together, and what belongs to Prakriti and what belongs to Krishna, Atma, in other words. If that separation is done properly inside, then the tendency will be, in a natural way, you will go towards Krishna, to serve or to become Krishna conscious or to develop jnanam, bhakti, vairagyam, everything will come in a natural way to go towards Krishna. And that is what he is saying here also in these chapters. Tasmin, last words you can see. Tamasmin pratyaga almanam dhiya yoga pravurtaya bhaktya viraktya jnanena vivichyatmani chindayel. That's all. Bhakti, virakti, jnanam. Three things. Devotion, renunciation, knowledge. These three things. That is what Sankhyam brings. So that is why Sankhya Yoga is important. Now, it is exactly these three things in the Vedantam also. Not different at all. Exactly the same thing. Knowledge, renunciation and bhakti. All the three things. So, that is why. Tasmin pratyagalpanam dhiya yoga pravartaya. This Sankhya Yoga, yoga process, will help a person. Tasmin pratyagalpanam. Pratyagalpanam means he is seeing that he is Pratyagalpava inside. Pratyagalpava means the Atma who is inside, who is coming out through all these senses and the mind, intelligence, everything, who is operating through all these things. That is Pratyagalpava. So that Tasmin Pratyagalpanam Dhiya, that realization will come in his intelligence. He will realize that in his intelligence. Dhiya, yoga pravartaya, by this yoga process. What will happen, the result? Bhaktya, viraktya, jnanena. Due to these three things, bhakti, virakti, jnanam, vivichyatmani chindayel, he will be only absorbed in the soul after that. He won't be absorbed in the matter anymore. Attraction for matter goes away, attraction for the Atma comes in. When we don't get attracted by the Atma, we get attracted by the matter, isn't it? Which means we get attracted by the body. So see how serious the whole topic is. That when there is no attraction for the soul, you will get attracted to matter, which means you'll attracted to the body, attracted to all other sinful activities attached to the body, whether it is sense enjoyment in any way, in whichever way it happens. It's only happening because there is no attraction to the soul. And that is what he is saying here. Sankhyam does that, make you so serious about the soul and the importance of the soul that you will be able to come out of the grip of the body. Maharshi calls it as scorpionic effect or scorpionic grip of the body on us. That is what Dehoham means, isn't it? Look at the 27th chapter. Saptavimshe tadasamyak bahusadhana bhedada pum pragrityor vivegena mochari iti nirupyate. Sridharacharya Swamiji says this. He's saying that Prakriti and Purusha, if you separate them by various processes, sadhana anushtanam, sadhana and all can help you in that. What does sadhana do? Sadhana keeps us not to get too absorbed in the body, isn't it? That's what sadhana helps. Not to, and anushtanam. Anushtanam means all the all kinds of sadhanas, what is associated with that. And absorbing, directing all the senses towards the soul rather than towards the body. When we say towards the body, means towards the world also. Withdrawing from the world, withdrawing from the body, and directing towards Atma, towards Atma. And how to reach that state, happiness from the soul, that is what is reviewed in this 27th chapter. Shridhara Swami says there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Prakritistho Vipurusho Na Ajyate Prakritir Gunai Avigarat Akartrutva Nirgunatva Jalakaval Sayeshayarhi Prakritir Gunesha Vivishajyate Aham Kriya Vimudhalpa Kartasmi Ityabhimanyate Tena Samsara Padavim Avashobhyate Nirubhrida Prasangike Karma Doshai Sadasan Mishrayo Nisho Artehi Avidyamani Bhi Samsardir Na Nivartade Dhyayato Vishayanasya Sopne Anarthagamo Yada. That verse, this fourth verse, how many times in the Bhagavatam? At least six times. Repeated. So important that verse is. In Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna repeats twice that verse. It comes in the Puranjana Vakyanam. Puranjana story, that verse comes. Here, in the third canto, it comes. So from that you can understand that Artehi avidyamanebi samsrutir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. What he is saying is that Artehi avidyamanebi samsrutir na nivartate, that you cannot escape from this situation, samsara, material existence, samsrutir na nivartate. Then Artehi avidyamanebi, it may be in avidya. Because dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. In dream state, when what you have experienced, when you wake up, you feel that, oh, it was all a dream and didn't bother you, isn't it? In the wakened state, when you came to the wakened state, say in the dream state you were attacked by a tiger or an elephant, or you fell down from a very big height. Something very close to death has happened to you in the dream state. Every night people experience all these kind of things, isn't it? But as soon as you come out of that dream state and wake up, immediately you think yourself, what a misery that was, what you went through in the night, isn't it? So many times. But when you are there, it is real. You are suffering, is it not? I don't know. I can only talk about myself, about what good dreams you have. I don't know, bad dreams, whatever that is. But I'm sure majority of us, we experience rarely good dreams, mostly bad dreams, and they give you enough misery in that dream state. But while it is in the dream, it is real. But as soon as you wake up, you say, oh, it's not real. You can say that when you're woken up. You can say it's not real. But it was real when you were in the dream. You have suffered for that. That is, the experience was real. What has really happened or not is another thing. But your experience was real and you have suffered from that. How can you say it's not real? Similarly, what Krishna is saying here is that in vacant state also, you have created and done a lot of things. And do you think, and you are saying that it's all real, real, real. The other one was not real. What meaning has it got? He's saying, Dhyayato Vishayanasya Sopne Anarthagamo Yatha. That as much as you have experienced that misery there, here also in the vacant state, when misery is coming, it is real in the vacant state. You can't run away from that. He's saying, Artehi avidyamanebi, because these miseries have come from avidya. Krishna spoke about this twice in the Ekadasha Skandam. Ada evashanaishchittam prasaktam asadam pati bhakti yogena tivrena viraktyacha nayedvasham. Solution to the problems. Yamadibhiri yogabhadeya asabhya abhyasanchraddhaya anvita mai bhavena satyena malkatha shravanena cha sarva bhuta samatvena nirvairena prasangada brahmacharyena maunena sudharmena baliyasa yadrchayo balabdhena sandushto mitabhungmani pivitta sharana shando maitra karana alpavan sanubandeja dehe sminna kurvanna sada agraham yanena drishtatatvena prakrite purushasya cha Nivrta buddhyavastanu duri bhudanya darshana ubalabhyalpana almanam chakshushevarkama almadrik muktalingam sadabhasamasadi pradibadhyade sadobandhu samasakshur sarvani usidamadvayam yatha jalastham abhasam stalasthena avadrishyade subhasena tatha suryo jalasthena divistida evam trurda hangaro bhudendriyamano maye subhaser lakshidonena sadabhasena satyadrik ഭൂതസൂക്ഷ്മേന്ദ്രിയ മനോബുദ്ധ്യാദിഷു ഹദ്ദിദ്രയ ലീനേഷസതയസ്തത്ര വിനിദ്രോ നിരഹം ക്രിയ മന്യമാനസദാത്മാനമനഷ്ടോ നഷ്ടവന്മഷ നഷ്ടേഹം കരണേ ദൃഷ്ട നഷ്ടവിത്തമിവാതുര ഏവം പ്രത്യവശ്യാ സാവാത്മാനം പ്രതിപദ്ധ്യതേ സാഹങ്കാരസ്യ ദ്രവ്യസ്യ യോസ്ഥാനമനുഗ്രഹം ദേവഹൂതിരുവാച പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷം പ്രകൃതിർബ്രഹ്മൻ ന വിമുഞ്ചതി കർഹിചൽ അന്യോന്യാവാശ്രയത്വാച്ച നിത്യത്വാദനയോ പ്രഭോ യഥാ ഗന്ധസ്യ ഭൂമേ ശമഭാവോ വ്യതിരേകത അപാംരസസ്യ ച യഥാ തഥാ ബുദ്ധേ പരസ്യ ച അകർത്തൂ കർമ്മബന്ധോയം പുരുഷസ്യ യഥാശ്രയ ഗുണേഷു സൽസു പ്രകൃതേ കൈവല്യം തേഷ്വത കഥം കുചിത്തത്വാവമർശേന നിവൃത്തം ഭയമുൽബണം അന്യമിത്ത നിമിത്തത്വാൽ പുനഃ പ്രത്യവതിഷ്ഠത്തെ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച അനിമിത്ത നിമിത്തേനം സ്വധർമ്മേണ അമലാത്മന തീവ്രയാമൈ ഭക്ത്യാചാശ്രുത സമ്പ്രദയാ ചിരം ജ്ഞാനേന ദൃഷ്ടതത്വേന വൈരാഗ്യേണ ബലീയസ തപോയുക്തേന യോഗേന തീവ്രേണ ആത്മസമാധിന പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷസ്യേഹ ദഹ്യമാനാത്വഹർനിശം തിരോഭവിത്രിശനങ്ങേ അഗ്നേര്യോ നിരിവാരണി മുക്തഭോഗാ പരിത്യക്ത്വാ ദൃഷ്ടദോഷാച നിത്യശ നിശുരസ്യ ശുഭം ദത്തേ സ്വയമഹിം നിസ്ഥിതസ്യ ച യഥാ ദാഹ്യ പ്രതിബുദ്ധസ്യ പ്രസ്വാവോ ബഹുനർത്ഥ സ ഏവ പ്രതിബുദ്ധസ്യ ന വൈ മോഹായ കൽപ്പതേ ഏവം വിദ്യതത്വസ്യ പ്രകൃതിർമൈമാനസം യുഞ്ചതോ നാപകുരുത ആത്മാരാമസ്യ കർഹേച്ചിൽ യഥൈവ മധ്യാത്മരതം കാലേന ബഹുജന്മന സർവത്ര ജാത വൈരാഗ്യം ആ ബ്രഹ്മഭുവനാൻ മുനി മൽഭക്ത പ്രതിബുദ്ധാർത്ഥോ മൽപ്രസാദേന ഭൂയസ നിശ്രേയസം സുസംസ്ഥാനം കൈവല്യാഖ്യം മദാശ്രയം പ്രാപ്നോദിഹാഞ്ചസാദീര സുദൃശാച്ഛിന്ന സംശയ യൽഗത്വാന നിവർത്തേത യോഗി ലിംഗാദ് വിനിർഗമേ യഥാന യോഗോപചിതാസു ചേതു മായാസു സിദ്ധസ്യ വിഷജ്ജതേങ്ക അനന്യഹേതു ശതമേ ഗതിസ്യ ആത്യന്തീയത്ര മൃത്യുഹാസ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം തൃതീയ സ്കന്ധേ കാപിലേയ വാഖ്യാനേ സപ്തവിംശതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ 28th ചാപ്റ്റർ ശ്രീധരസ്വാമി സേസ് ഹിയർ അഷ്ടാവിംശേതദോഷ്ട അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗേന ധ്യാനശോഭിനാം സർവോപാധി വിനിർമുക്തം സ്വരൂപജ്ഞാനമീര്യതേ. ത്രൂ അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗം ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ ടു ഫോക്കസ് ഓൺ കൃഷ്ണസ് ഫോം. That is what is, and in that way it is also possible to realize the self. That is what is discussed in this next chapter. So you can see in the last three, four chapters, 24, 25, 26, 27, Kapila Maharshi brought both Jnanam and Bhakti. He hasn't rejected either of them. Why? Because Bhakti without Jnanam and Jnanam without Bhakti is not complete. That is the reason that Jnanam, when it is combined with Bhakti, and Bhakti similarly, ultimately when in the experience level, when in realized state, you will find that there is no difference between Jnanam and Bhakti. That is a much higher state. But in the early stages of spiritual life, you cannot separate Jnanam from Bhakti. Bhakti combined with Jnanam, that is how Kapila Maharshi has spoken here in these last 2-3 chapters. Now here, he is now going to Ashtanga Yoga. Because when he said to Devahuti Devi in the beginning that there is many yoga processes available and to help us to free ourselves from this material existence. So Prakriti Shri Bhagavanu Vacha then Prakriti Stobi Parisho Najya Deva Prakriti Irgunai Avigara Agritatva Nirgunotva Jala Arkaval Ashtavimshaye തത് അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗേന ധ്യാനശോഭിനാം സർവോപാധി വിനിർമുക്തം സ്വരൂപജ്ഞാനമീര്യതേ ഭക്തി സംക്ഷേപത പ്രോച്യ സാഖ്യമാഖ്യായ വിസ്തൃതം അതാഹ വൈഷ്ണവം യോഗം അഷ്ടാംഗം കപിലോ ഹരി. ഇനീഷ്യലി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഭക്തി ഇൻ എ സമറൈസ്ഡ് ഫോം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് സാഖ്യം. സാഖ്യം മീൻ ജ്ഞാനം. ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഭക്തി ഇൻ എ സമറൈസ്ഡ് വേ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് സാഖ്യം ജ്ഞാനം ഇൻ എ എലോബറേറ്റ് വേ ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് നൗ He is talking about dhyanam, meditation process, through Ashtanga Yogam to help bhakti. That's the next chapter. Shri Bhagavanu Vaja, Yoga Silakshanam Vakshe Sabijasya Nirvalpaje Mano Yenaiva Vidhina Prasannam Yadi Salpadam Sodharma Charanam Shaktya Vidharma Chanivartanam Aiva Labdhena Sandosham Atma Vicharana Archanam Gramya Dharma Nivartischa Moksha Dharma Radhistada Midamedhyadanam Shashwal Vivikta Kshema Sevanam Ahimsa Satyamasteyam Yavadartha Parigraham Brahmacharyam Tapashaujam Swadhyaya Purusha Archanam മൗനം സദാസനജയം സ്ഥൈര്യം പ്രാണജയ ശനൈ പ്രത്യാഹാരശ്ചേന്ദ്രിയാണാം വിഷയാൻ മനസാ ഹൃദി സുതൃഷ്ണാനാമേകദേശേ മനസാ പ്രാണധാരണം വൈകുണ്ഠലീലാഭിധ്യാനം സമാധാനം തദാൽപന ഏതൈരന്യശ്ച പതിവിർമനോ ദുഷ്ടമസൽപഥം ബുദ്ധ്യാ യുഞ്ജീത ശനയർജിത പ്രാണോ ഹ്യതന്ദ്രിയ ശുചൗദേശേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠാപ്യം വിജിതാസനമാസനം തസ്മിൻ സ്വസ്തി സമാസീനം ഋജുഗായ സമഭ്യസേൽ പ്രാണസ്യ ശോധയന്മാർഗം പൂരകുംഭകരേചകൈ പ്രതികൂലേന വാചിത്വം യഥാസ്ഥിരം അചഞ്ചലം മനോജിരാൽ സ്വാദ്വിരജം ജിതശ്വാസസ്യ യോഗിനം വായു അഗ്നിഭ്യാം യഥാലോഹത്മാദം ത്യജതി വൈമലം പ്രാണായാമേ ദേഹദോഷാൻ ധാരണാഭിഷ്ടകിൽഭിഷാൻ പ്രത്യാഹാരേണ സംസർഗാൻ ധ്യാനേനാൻ ഈശ്വരാൻ ഗുണാൻ യഥാ മനസ്സും വിരജം യോഗേന സുസമാഹിതം കാഷ്ടാം ഭഗവതോധ്യായൽ സ്വനാസാഗ്രാവലോകന പ്രസന്നവദനാംഭോജം പത്മഗാർഭാരുണേക്ഷണം നീലോൽപ്രദളശ്യാമം ശംഖചക്രഗദാധരം ലസൽ പങ്കജകിഞ്ചൽക്കം പീതകൗശയവാസസം ശ്രീവത്സവക്ഷസം രാജൽ കൗസ്തുഭാമുക്തകന്ധരം മത്തദ്ഭിരേവകലയാ പരീതം വനമാലയാ പരാർദ്ധഹാരവലയം കിരീടാംഗദനൂപുരം കാഞ്ചീകുണോല്ലസന്മോണിം ഹൃദയാംഭോജവിഷ്ടരം ദർശനീയതമം ശാന്തം മനോനയനവർദ്ധനം അഭീച്ചദർശനം ശുശ്വസർവലോകനമസ്കൃതം സ്വന്തം വൈസികൈശോരേ ഭൃത്യാനുഗ്രഹകാതരം കീർത്തന്യതീർത്ഥേശസം പുണ്യശ്ലോകേശസ്കരം ധ്യായേദ്ദേവം സമഗ്രാംഗം യാവന്നച്ചവദേ മന സ്ഥിതം രജന്തമാസീനം ശയാനം വാഗുഹാശയം പ്രക്ഷണീയേഹിതം ധ്യായേ ശുദ്ധഭാവേന ചേതസ്സാ തസ്മിൻ ലബ്ധമതം ചിത്തം സർവാവയവ സംസ്ഥിതം വിലക്ഷൈകത്ര സംയുജ്യാതംഗേ ഭഗവതോ മുനി സഞ്ചിന്തയേൽ ഭഗവതശ്ചരണാരവിന്ദം വഞ്ചനാങ്കുശദ്വിജസരോരുഹലാഞ്ചനാഢ്യം ഉത്തുംഗരക്നവിലസന്നഖചക്രവാളം ജ്യോത്സ്നാവിരാഹതമഹാത് ഹൃദയാന്ധകാരം യച്ഛൗചനസ്രസയിൽ പ്രവരോധകേന തീർത്ഥേന മൂർധനധികൃതേന ശിവശിവോ ഭൂൽ ധ്യാതുർമനശമലമേശല സൃഷ്ടവജ്രം ധ്യായേ ചിരം ഭഗവതശ്ചരണാരവിന്ദം ജാനുദ്വയം ജലജലോചനയാ ജനന്യാലക്ഷ്മ്യാഖിലസ്യ സുരവന്ദിതയാ വിധാതു ഉർവോർനിധായ കരവല്ലവരോജിഷായൽ സംലാളിതം ഹൃദി വിഭോരഭവസ്യ ഉരിയാൽ ഉരു സുവർണവിജയോരതിശോഭമാന ുസുമാവഭാസോ വ്യാലംബിവീതവരവാസസി വർത്തമാനം കാഞ്ചീ കലാവപരിരംബി നിദംബിംബം നാദിഹൃദം ഭുവനകോശ ഗുഹോദരസ്ഥം യത്രാത്മയോനി ദിഷണാഖില ലോകവൽപം വ്യൂഢൻ ഹരിന്മണി വൃഷസ്തനയോരമുഷ്യധ്യായേദ്വയം വിശദഹാരമയൂഖഗൗരം വക്ഷോദിവാസം വൃഷഭസ്യ മഹാവിഭൂതേ പുംസാം മനോ നയന നിർവൃതിമാധാനം കണ്ഠം ജ കൗസ്തുഭമണേരതിഭൂഷണാർത്ഥം കുര്യാൻ മനസി ഹില ലോക നമസ്കൃതസ്യ ബാഹും ശമന്ത്ര ഗിരേ പരിവർത്തേന നിർണിക്ത ബാഹുവലയാനധി ലോകപാലൻ സഞ്ചിന്തയേ ദശശതാരമസഹ്യതേജശങ്കഞ്ജതൽക്കര സരോരുഹരാജഹംസം കൗമോദഗീം ഭഗവതോദൈതാം സ്മരേത ദിഗ്ധാമരാദിഭടശോണിതകാർദ്ധമേന മാലാം മധുവ്രതവരൂധ ഗിരോപകുഷ്ടാം ചൈത്യസ്യ തത്വമലം മണിമസ്യ കണ്ഠേ ഭൃത്യാനുകമ്പിതദിയേഹ ഗൃഹീതമൂർത്തേ സഞ്ചിന്തയേൽ ഭഗവതോ വദനാരവിന്ദം യദ്യൻസ്ഫുരൻ മകരകുണ്ടലവൽഗീതേന വിദ്യോദിത അലകമോലമുദാരനാസം യച്ഛീനികേതമളിവി പരിസേവ്യമാനം ഭൂത്യാസ്വയാ കുടലകുന്തളവൃന്ദജുഷ്ടം മീനദ്വയാശ്രമദീക്ഷിതോദബ്ജനേത്രം ധ്യായേൻ മനോമയമതന്ത്രിതമുല്ലസൽഭ്രൂ തസ്യാവലോകമതിയം കൃപയാധിഘോരം താപത്രയോപശമനായൻ സൃഷ്ടമഷ്ണോ സ്നിഗ്ധസ്മിതാനുഗുണിതം വിപുലപ്രസാദം ധ്യായേ ചിരം വിപുലഭാവനയാ ഗുഹായാം ഹാസം ഹരേ അവനതാകില ലോകദീപശോകാശ്രുസാഗരവിശോഷ ണമത്യുദാരം സമോഹനായ രചിതം നിജമായ യാസ്യ ഭ്രൂമണ്ഡലം മുനികൃതേ മകരധ്വജസ്യ ധ്യാനായനം പ്രസിതം ബഹുളാരഥോഷ്ടം ഭാസാരുണായ തതിനു ദ്വിജകുന്ദപംക്തി ധ്യായേൽസ്വദേഹഗോരേ അവസിതസ്യ വിഷ്ണോ ഭക്തി ആർദ്രയാർപ്പിതമനാന പൃഥക്തിദൃക്ഷേൽ ഏവം ഹരോ ഭഗവതി പ്രതിലബ്ധഭാവോ ഭക്ത്യാധ്രുവദ്രത ഉൽപ്ലക പ്രമോദാൽ ഔൽക്കണ്ഠ്യ ബാഷ്പകലയാ മുഹുരദ്യമാനം സച്ചാപി ചിത്തപിടിശം ശനകേർവിയുങ്ക്തേ മുക്താശ്രയം യർക്കി നിർവിഷയം വിരക്തം നിർവാണമൃത്തി മനസ്സഹസാ യഥാർച്ചി ആത്മാനമത്ര പുരുഷോ അവ്യവധാനമേകമന്യീക്ഷതേ പ്രതിനിവൃത്ത ഗുണപ്രവാഹ സോപ്യേതയാ ചരമയാ മനസോ നിവൃത്യ തസ്മിൻ മഹിംനവസിത സുഖദുഃഖബാഹ്യേ ഹേതുത്വം അപ്യസ്വീകർത്തരി ദുഃഖയോര്യൽ സ്വാത്മൻ വിദത്ത ഉപലബ്ധപരാത്മകാഷ്ടാം ദേഹം ജതം ന ചരമ സ്ഥിതമുത്തിതം വ സിദ്ധോ വിപശതേതോ ധ്യഗമൽ സ്വരൂപം ദൈവാതപേദമത് ദൈവവശാതപേദം വ സോ യഥാ പരിഹൃതം മതിരാ മഥാന്താ ദേഹോപി ദൈവവശകം ഖലു കർമ്മയാവൽ സ്വാരംഭകം പ്രതിസമീക്ഷതമേവ സാസോ തം സപ്രപഞ്ചമതിരൂഢ സമാധിയോഗം സ്വപ്നം പുനർനഭജതേ പ്രതിബുദ്ധവസ്തു യഥാ പുത്രാച്ച വിത്താച്ച പൃഥം മർത്യാ പ്രതീയതേ അപ്യാത്മത്വേനാഭിമതാം ദേഹാധേ പുരുഷസ്തഥാ യഥോൽമുഹോദിസ്ഫുലിംഗാദ്മോദ്ദാദിസുസംഭവാൽ അപ്യാത്മത്യേനാഭിമദ്യഗ്നിപ്രതകുൽമുഖാൽ ഭൂതേന്ദ്രിയാന്തക്കരണാൽ പ്രധാനാൽ ജീവസംജ്ഞാൽ ആത്മാ തഥാ പൃഥഗ് ദ്രഷ്ടാ ഭഗവാൻ ബ്രഹ്മസംഹിത സർവഭൂതേഷു ചാൽപാനം സർവഭൂതാനി ചാത്മനി ഈക്ഷേതാ അനന്യഭാവേന ഭൂതേ ശിവതദാത്മതാം സ്വയോനിഷേധാ ജ്യോതി ഏകം നാനാ പ്രതീയത യോനീനാം ഗുണവൈഷമ്യാൽ തഥാത്മാ പ്രകൃതൌ സ്ഥിത തസ്മാദിമാം സ്വാം പ്രകൃതിം ദേവീം സദസദാത്മികാം ദുർവിഭാവ്യം ദുർവിഭാവ്യം പരാഭാവ്യം സ്വരൂപേണ അവതിഷ്ഠതേ. ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം തൃതീയ സ്കന്ദേ കാപിലേയ ഉപാഖ്യാനേ സാധനാനുഷ്ഠാനം നാമ അഷ്ടവിംശതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ദോസ് ടു ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് വി വിൽ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ടുമോറോ ഇൻ വാട്ട്ഫോർഡ് 27th and 28th, then we'll continue from tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Prabhupada ki jai.